welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good times. 866-901-ADAM. Get it on. Teresa Strasser, good morning.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser, Big Old Brian.
Hello.
I was watching CNN this morning, and another guy's died via taser. A lot of people dying from taser deaths. I don't have a problem with that at all.
I was loaded out of my mind.
You would if it were you.
This was a definitely not a Jew situation. A guy was pulled over in what state, everybody? Where? Think. What state? What state was the guy who was pulled over for playing his stereo too loud?
Do they have a big theme park in the state?
Yes.
Was
yes.
it in the county of Miami-Dade?
Quite possibly, yes. That's right. Florida, everybody.
Huh. Shocker.
Pulled over, speaking of shocking, pulled over for his stereo being turned up too loud. Had a gun and some cocaine in the car and started pushing the cop, and then the cop tased him. Now, a couple things I'm thinking about. First off, as you know, I'm an atheist, so I can say whatever I want with impunity. The guy was young. He was 21. Good. Glad he's dead. Don't want somebody who's that effing stupid to have. I don't mind the guy with the coke in his car, and I don't mind the guy with the gun in his car. I mind the guy who has the stereo up so loud that he's essentially advertising for cops to pull him over, knowing he's got cocaine and a gun in the car. Again, I don't mind the guy driving with expired tabs. I don't mind the guy driving with no brake lights, and I don't mind the guy swerving in and out of traffic. That could be me. When I find out that guy has a hooker in the trunk of the car, now I want him dead. Not because he killed the hooker, but because he's so effing stupid that he's carrying around a pharmacy and an arsenal, and he's cranking up the tunes to the point where everyone is turning their head when he goes down the street, including the cops. I don't want that guy to procreate. That's all I'm about. I don't want this guy to sire kids, and it's my... loose math. I've done the loose math on this. Those guys seem to have more kids at a younger age and take less care of them. So this guy got tasered, and this guy died. And now there's all these stories about taser deaths. Now, I'm sure it's just what the news does. They get on a roll. They start getting into pit bull attacks, and next thing you know, there's nothing but pit bull attacks, and then magically they all go away. They do it with shark attacks.
Rottweilers were big for a while.
Freeway shootings. Except for, after a while, they start reporting kids that are waving BB guns to guys in station wagons in cars next to them, which wouldn't be a news story, except for it's another freeway-related shooting. So people are dying, and they're not dying in any record numbers. Some crazy guy died in, like, Ontario in Canada somewhere or something like that in an airport, and then this guy died just recently. Here's why I feel like people are dying. I was thinking, what's going on with all the tasing? And then I realized, oh, yes, people don't listen to cops anymore. You see, we grew up in an environment when a cop said something, you just did it.
You just jumped.
Oh, you just did it. If a cop pulled you over and said, yeah, ma'am, you rolled through that four-way stop. So, as a matter of fact, what do you got in the commuter mug? And you're like scalding hot coffee. Could you go ahead and dump it on your head, ma'am?
Sure.
You'd just be like,
yep.
Here you go. Yeah, and
it's the same age when you could hit other people's children.
Yes.
When dads down the street could hit you for being a jerk.
You'd get pulled over and be like, license, registration, and anal. And you'd be like,
yes, sir.
Lube or none.
Yes, sir.
Whatever you like.
You know, officer, if you have some lube handy on the bike, that'd be awesome. But
if not,
let's go for a dry run or
butter.
Roll it in sand. I'm fine, Your Highness. That's the way it worked. But all you did.
For anybody who wasn't bad during these years and thinks he's making this up, the cops were your dad on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
The cops could make you do anything and did, and mostly rightly so. Now, you said as an atheist, I say with impunity. You know that I was baptized about 9 months before I joined this show.
Sure.
Went to church every Sunday, still go to church. So the good and the bad, dude. It was all there.
TMZ, yeah.
And I do believe in God, so let me just say, he's 21, and good, I'm glad he's dead. I'm not that good at that Christian thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
You shine that guy.
Right.
The cop's got a gun, we've said this before, he's telling you, get on your knees, intertwine your fingers, just do it.
Yes, yeah, so why are more people being tased now?
They're rude little piggies.
People do not speak in a piggies. They don't respect
how
authority.
Alec Baldwin speaks to his daughter.
Yes, we're growing up in an environment where we're creating a bunch of narcissists. I mean, someone should sue Nike for doing the, or Reebok for doing the "It's Your World, We're Just Living in It" campaign. Of course, everyone grows up on a steady diet. Look, we grew up on a steady diet of shut up and listen to anyone who's 4 months older than you.
Right.
And the cops were, as Danny said, a combination of your dad and then your friend's scary dad.
Right.
And then just Mr. Authority. All rolled up into one and then supercharged.
You think you deserve that?
Whatever he said, that's what you did. I get the feeling we're growing up with a bunch of narcissists that are, they grow up on a steady diet. If you can do anything you want, don't let anyone ever tell you. Well, when you start that speech with the kids every 10 minutes of don't let anyone ever tell you. And unfortunately, especially the black community is getting a steady diet of don't you let anyone ever tell you you can't do this or that. Well, once in a while, everyone pulls you over. And then everyone tells you, get out of the car or put your hands, whatever, or stop where you are. And then your mom and grandmama's voice ring through your head, or possibly aunt. Don't you let anyone ever tell you. And so what do? Well, you just keep walking, and now you're getting your ass tased, and now people are dying. And again, this crosses all racial boundaries. Now, I don't know.
Does that mean we insult them all in one stroke, or everybody's cool?
Well, I mean, white people are getting tased, black people are getting tased. I do feel I do feel like a lot of the problem in the black community has been they were oppressed, they were enslaved, then they were empowered, and a whole group of single moms raised a bunch of sons saying, don't you let anyone ever tell you, and they go, fine, I won't. And then the principal said, hey, get back in your chair, and they went, no. And then the boss said, hey, get over here. I'm going to dock you. And they said, no. And then the cop said, pull over. And they said, no. As I would do if everyone said to me, don't you ever listen to anybody else but yourself. But this is going on worldwide, and it's going on with every country and every culture. People have stopped recognizing authority, and thus people are getting tased. It
and
seems
thus
to me.
I'm mad at you.
Why?
Because I interrupted my own child's school reading because of this subject. Because you had beat it into my head so much that we are empowering these children until they don't listen to anything. And I read all these stories to all these kids, and they said exactly that. And I left my own daughter's school to call you and say, you should write a children's book about how life really works. You could have saved this guy's life. And what'd you do? Mm. You probably went to Kimmel's and watched football.
Yeah.
If there's any football
the
yesterday.
The tasing
whatever.
Turtle. Hey, Mark.
See?
Hey, Mark the poet.
Bastard. Hey, good morning.
Yeah. Been a while, Mark. Mark,
yes.
What's happening, my brother?
Oh, good times. Had to put on the heater. It's cold up here in Seattle, but I got a poem for your unibrow.
Oh.
Timely.
That's right.
Eyebrow, lowbrow, pardon the peanut pun. This is about eyebrows and how, ironically, Ace has won. International brow of mystery. Yeah, babe. Shagadelic. In fact, his unibrow could have been the stunt double for Tom Selleck. Side note, how dare a fool think of Corolla ran as fake. Adam's the genius Gemini, and his third eye is awake. His unibrow is old school, with the man show clout, meditating on the next subject to complain about. I learned hair grows on important things, and on him it's like wool, hyper-focus, razor brain, big unibrow on his skull. Hell, if hair was edible, his brow would be a feast. Sinister if it concealed the mark of the beast. Seriously, if someone offers to wax it, take a pass. Because Corolla, you and your unibrow kick ass.
This poem sucks.
No.
Like,
that was great. And let me say this.
Thank you.
When you, nice job, Mark, the poet. You see, when you take public transportation, you get to create such bodies of work. This is something that was created on a bus or a commuter train. We don't write poetry out here because we have cars. And we either talk on a cell phone or we drive our cars, or then we get home, we have something called TV.
Right.
Poetry is born from the back of the bus. You must be sitting somewhere, left alone with your retarded thoughts for long periods of time in order to create such a masterpiece. Mark.
True that. Yes, Ace.
You don't have a car, right?
Not currently.
Right.
In between cars.
You take public transportation?
Yeah, I stupidly sold my Vespa back in the 90s, and now the same one is like, I don't know, 20 times the cost I paid for it.
That's right. The ones they drove during Quadrophenia have now had a renaissance. Mark the Poet.
You're a modern rocker.
True or false, this poem was created whilst riding said public transportation.
You can do no wrong, Ace.
Yes, yes, yes. I know what it's like. I know the difference between I have a great idea and I was bored on a bus.
And I have time, yeah.
Right.
Quadrophenia. There's the great ideas you have that hit you like lightning, and then the ones where you get so bored and so tired of reading the Sky Mall or the back of the seat of the whatever's in front of you. There's some warning graphic that's been hot ironed onto some seat in front of you. You get tired of reading, then you start coming up with poetry.
Right. Yeah, it's Sylvia Plath that had a Honda.
It's like prison art.
Right. It's the poetry of, oh, my God, this is such a good idea when I get home. And then when you get home, 100 other things have happened.
Yeah.
But when you got, I have a great idea, and I'm sitting here on this bus, my only problem with it is something you complain about movies. It was very good.
A smidge long.
That's it. It was about 2/3 of a brilliant poem and then 1/3 of extraneous words.
Well, maybe it's a long bus ride.
Hey, Fred.
Maybe it's a hell of a pair of brows, too, but still just a little long.
It's not a pair.
You want to talk about movies?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good.
I'm a big fan of the show. I listen every day from beginning to end.
Wow, thanks, Fred.
I just wanted to say I'm really happy that Danny's getting back into acting, and I'm looking forward to his film.
All right.
I loved him in the Leprechaun series.
Thank you. I didn't see that coming. I swear to God, really, you just made that up. Wow.
Stay away from my pot of gold.
Hey, we'll watch his download thing on CBS.com, Danny Bonaducci Life Coach. You can't get enough of me.
I think it would be me, pot of gold. I don't want to correct you. But
you're correct, sir. I'm just a little mad at Danny right now.
Why, buddy?
Well, because I was trying to watch him in that Johnny Fairplay thing on the internet.
Yeah.
But it took me about a half hour to figure out I was watching midget wrestling.
Oh.
See that coming.
Fred, what else you got?
I feel like you're loaded
for bear this morning.
I know there's a writer's strike, so.
Come on, you got something else up your sleeve.
Well, you know what? I know mine. I am, in fact, short. And so I don't disagree with that. Other guy calls up and says all these things about me. I vehemently disagree with that guy. I am, in fact, short. If he wants to go for short jokes and they're funny, I'm with him 100%.
You got one more?
You got another one?
Well, I did have some advice for a deaf frat guy wanting Danny's job.
All right. Well, let's hear that.
Well, basically, all he has to do is interrupt Adam every 2 seconds, talk about Gretchen and his girlfriend and dildos.
That's it?
And
you know,
short
funny.
In stature, but long in wind. Is that what you're saying, Fred?
That's it, buddy.
All right, Fred.
I'm giving you guys gold here, okay?
All right. All right. It's good stuff. All right, listen.
Let me help you, Fred.
That's his gold.
That's exactly what it says on my job description. Aside from interrupt Adam... Gets it.
He's a genius. He's a genius, that man.
Okay, so
he's the smartest man
on
the planet.
I'm just trying to get paid, bro.
He's the smartest 15-year-old on the planet, Jack Silver.
When he refers to this as the Leica station, it makes me nervous.
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
Makes
well,
me suicidal.
I saw all the blood leave his face once when I said, look, if you're a big fan of Leicas, I'm not sure if you'll be a big fan of mine. He looked at me and he said, I hope you're kidding.
Did he soil his Dockers at that point?
He buys them pre-soiled now. you know how they have the children's section and then they have like the teens and then they have the adults. There's the mature adult section.
Yeah.
If you were to say, and I've had sex in all of them, you'd be making Jack really happy right now. You might not be making your point.
Right.
But you'd be making the boss giggle.
Well, I'll go, let's see. Well, I'll cheat on my wife and then do it for under $40. That'll be my compromise.
That's beautiful.
You're a legend.
Oh, wait a minute. My dad's
on
the line.
Is it TNA Tuesdays?
My dad called me this morning.
This morning?
Dad.
Yeah.
True or false, you get up at 5:30 in the morning?
No, more like 5, yeah.
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But not because there's any soil to be tilled or any barns to be raised, just because you go to bed at 8 o'clock at night.
Well, I have rituals in the morning. I have to meditate and things. And I usually have an early patient.
I do something in the morning. It's called sleeping. It's my form of meditation. I mean, like, when you wake up to meditate, don't you think you just light a candle and fall back asleep again, but you're in a lotus position?
No, that's not the way it works.
You get
it.
All right.
Is the way it works. The hospital, they used to wake me up to give me a sleeping pill.
Dad, you get up at 5 to meditate. Yes?
And I go to mass in the morning. So those two things, meditate and mass.
Right. But you get tired around just about 10 minutes after the street lights come on, right?
Yeah.
So you go to bed pretty early. Have you always had that schedule where you go to bed?
No, I have not always had that schedule. As a younger man and, but I worked, but I always had to get up to go to work, and work was usually a school district that was further away, so I needed time. So I got up early, yeah. But let me tell you, Adam, I've been thinking about it. I told you that, you know, 6 o'clock, I would have to be out by 7.
Yeah, I told my dad, hold on a second. I called my dad yesterday and asked him if he wanted to come in and play the trumpet on Wednesday. It's tomorrow's show, right?
Yeah,
we're doing
it's
like
a Thanksgiving show.
So I told him to come in.
Be playing your trumpet for a jack.
And bring the horn. And Danny's bringing his mom. I was going to bring my dad. But Dad said he has to get up and he has to go to work and he has to be somewhere at 8. So what were you thinking about, Dad?
I'm thinking about rescheduling or canceling the first two patients.
Yeah.
I could be there by 9. I mean, I could be there up till 9.
Well, I'll tell you what to do, Dad.
We'd love it.
Tell him to tune in and just give a little therapy through the radio. You know what I mean? You play a little Duke Ellington on the horn and then stop and go, look, quit blaming your parents, and then go back to the horn again. Maybe tell them to tune in. We'll do it that way. Hey, Dad, well, I like that idea. So you'll be in tomorrow and you'll bring your horn.
Right.
So when I get here at 5:45, you'll be here.
I could be there that early.
5:45? When does that happen?
I had to round down.
I wouldn't mind shooting a couple of my straight problems at him and getting a little free therapy.
Well, why don't we do that,
too? So he doesn't feel like he completely took the day off. Yeah. I got issues. I got problems,
dude. I think Batman's
coming.
We could get some couples counseling.
All right, Dad. Bring the horn and bring the jacket, the tweed jacket with the patches on the sleeves.
And you convinced my 86-year-old mother it's time to let go.
By the way, can I just say, Adam, I think this is a very nice gesture that your dad's canceling some patients to be here when you want him here.
Yeah, nobody mentioned he's starting to listen, dude.
Thanks, Dad. All right, Dad.
You want something? Just something I want? What, one piece or anything in particular?
You know what? I'll tell you this, Dad. It's Thanksgiving. Whatever that means to you, whatever that holiday means to you, come on down, bring the horn, and play a song that's in that theme.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Gratitude.
Yeah, or family, or whatever it means to you.
Or this was a giant error in judgment.
Please drive the Jag.
All right, Dad.
All right, okay.
We'll see you tomorrow.
See you, Mr. Grohl.
Bye.
Dad called me on my cell phone at 5:45 this morning. What a time we're living in. And what a device.
Hello?
If somebody would have told me when I was like in junior high, hey, one day there'll be a device size of a pack of cigarettes, put it in your pocket, and you can be reached anywhere. So much so that when you're heading to work at 5:30 in the morning, it'll ring and your father will be on the other end of it. I would have said, what kind of apocalyptic future do we have ahead of us? You know what? I must stop the world right now or build a time machine or do something. A device? A monitoring device? First off, what am I doing going to work at 5:30 in the morning? What's going on? I thought 8 was as early as I got. I didn't know there was 5:30. And then I had this idea that I'd have some job that'd start about 11:45 or noon, you know? Like, I hated getting up for school, but the future, I'll have a job that starts at noon. I did not know Frosty, Heidi, and Frank were going to take that gig.
Hey, if they'd have told me 20 years ago you would get in your car and you'd have something the size of a pack of cigarettes in your pocket, I'd say, I know, it's there now.
That's right.
It's a pack of cigarettes,
I have
idiot.
Three of them. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, I have some clips from 60 Minutes and a new segment called Stupid or Liar. I've said this many times. Either the people are dumb or they're lying or they're both. You see when the people get interviewed, you know, and they're being interviewed because the bank put $2 million into their checking account and they spent $1.5 million of it. And they go, really? You didn't know that wasn't your money? No, I just wrote checks. You wrote a check for $73,000 to buy a yacht. Yeah, you work as a part-time librarian. I don't know where the money. And you think to yourself, well, you're either stupid or you're lying or C, both. Because when stupid people lie, they think that other people. See, here's the problem. People think that the world is as smart as they are. Kids think it. Dogs think it. Everyone thinks that everyone's on the same level. You ever do that thing where there's a bunch of smart people and you hang around the dumb guy and the dumb guy's BSing everyone and he thinks it's going over, but it's not working at all. Everyone knows what's going on. Stupid or liar. I'll play you some stuff from last minute 60 minutes, or I should say last week 60 minutes. We'll do that next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. And now a word from the Hi-Fi Hesher, Program Director Jack Silver.
I am Iron Man, peeps! Today, we're giving away tickets to see Ozzy Osbourne in Nicaragua, Name That Tune! A round of Angel Adam, Devil Danny! Your chance to test your know-how, and are you smarter than a Raiders fan? The guy who just broke the cross-country driving record! And from Law & Order, rapper Ice-T! Hey, Law & Order, that's what I named my testes! You have the right to remain impressed! Fight!
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. All right, we'll do a little Nicaraguan Name That Tune coming up. But first, stupid or liar? I've said it a few times. We finally decided to pull some clips.
You said it to me.
You say, when you watch anyone doing the interviews, you can just see them. You see them on 60 Minutes, but usually they get a slightly higher caliber of CEO or whoever, Pentagon official, but they're always doing that thing where they didn't think anything was a problem or they didn't see why they should do this. And you realize they're lying. And if they're not lying, well, then they're just dumb.
Right.
It started. Remember I told you that story? It was about a week or two old. There was a Halloween party and the head of immigration and whoever who was trying to go from the immigration department. She was trying to go from immigration to Homeland Security. And there was a little scuttlebutt about a costume contest where one of her employees dressed up in blackface and then put on a prison jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. And then she took a picture with the guy. And then they also awarded the guy the number one costume prize. Later on, people said, hey, don't you think that's just a little bit racist? She said, oh, I just thought he was a black guy. Now, here's where the stupid or liar part. She didn't realize he'd smeared shoe polish on his face like Gene Wilder when Silver Streak.
Great,
but it could have been Stir Crazy. Here's the point. Now, here's why I say stupid or liar. Stupid in that you couldn't tell a guy you worked with had come in. If Bald Brian came in here with dreadlock wigs and a shoe polish face, you wouldn't know. You just think it was the new guy you hired down the hall. First off, you don't know the people at your Christmas party. Number one, number two, you're bucking for a job from going from immigration to Homeland Security, and you can't tell when a guy's put shoe polish on his face to make himself 20 shades darker. So please tell me you're not that stupid. I don't think you're that stupid.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
I think you're a liar.
So now,
I think you're telling the press, I didn't know. I thought he was a man of color. And by the way, here's how I know you're lying. If a black guy just gets in a prison jumpsuit, that's enough to win first prize at your costume contest?
God, there's a lot
you
of
want
winners.
To talk about racist? So, stupid or liar? I'm going both. But when they interview these people, no one ever goes, oh, please. You thought he was an actual man of color.
Well,
nice.
I've got one little question.
Hmm.
It's stupid or liar, but now do you have a preference?
I would rather have the liar.
In her case, specifically, in this case, you just wish she was just lying and not that stupid and got that job with the government.
Right. Like when, you know, Bill Clinton is talking about not having sex, but not defining getting oral as having sex or doing anything, whatever, all that kind of stuff. I'd rather just have a smart guy that had a personality disorder rather than a pure dullard in that kind of position. So if she gets a gig in Homeland Security, I'm praying she's a liar, because otherwise she's not going to be able to tell Al-Qaeda from Sandy Duncan. All right.
How do you know she's not?
Mm.
One eye. Imagine what she could smuggle.
How about a picture?
Those Triscuits were deadly.
Sandy Duncan, yes, and just a caption says American Al Qaeda right underneath her.
I see C4.
All right.
She got a lighter to her face on an airplane.
I'd like to see that.
Me too.
Let's play our first stupid or liar.
All right, I'm
clip.
With you.
In 2003, the chain Ruby Tuesday tried listing calories on its menus, and sales dropped. Soon, most calorie numbers vanished.
Aren't you truly afraid that by listing the calories, you're going to lose money?
Absolutely not. If we were afraid to provide the information, why would we voluntarily provide it?
Right. On their website.
On their website. And maybe initially they put it on the menu. Absolutely. So you put the calories on the menu. People stop buying the brisket and the meatloaf and everything else because everything you sell is dripping with fat and calories. You put it on the menu, the sales go down, and then someone says, well, why'd you take it off the menu? And you go, had nothing to do with sales going down. Look, if I'm a shareholder, I prefer he just goes, yeah, we took it off because we took a 22% dip in sales that month.
It's a two-parter. When he decided to put the calories on a Ruby Tuesday's menu, stupid. Then when he tells the reporter, oh, I just took it off just because I felt it had nothing to do with the 22% dip in sales. Liar.
Right.
That one came in sections.
Stupid and liar. And then the next one. And I agree. Here's my feeling. I don't like the man. I don't like the food police. I don't like the anything police. But I'm flexible. If you're telling me that the saturated fats they deep fry everything in is horrible for me, and there's a substitute where I couldn't really taste the difference. Now, I can taste the difference between a regular Coke and a Diet Coke.
Oh, God, I can't.
And I can taste the difference between dietetic non-sugar ice cream and real ice cream. But if you're telling me these fries were dipped in something that's going to clog my artery, and these fries were dipped in something that's not quite as bad for me, and the taste is sort of 85 to 90%, I'm fine with the food police getting involved with that. I really am. I know I sound like I'm all over the map when it comes to the man. I do like the FDA, and I do like, you know, I do like that we have a government that says, hey, we're going to need that Thomas the Tank Engine back because it's covered in lead paint. Your kid's going to get brain damage. I'm fine with that part of the man. And I like the idea of them mandating, especially if you take a look at it. Obesity is becoming a big killer in this society because of heart disease and everything else. With something astounding, like one out of every four or five kids is obese, not overweight, obese. And yes, if I went into a fast food restaurant and you put the calories right next to the sandwiches, I'd go, I was going to get the fillet of fish over there, but I see it has more calories than the quarter pounder. Well, F it. I thought I was going to eat fish and be healthy.
Right.
Screw it. I'll get the... For me, it's not really about counting the calories. It's, as a guy said later in the show, in this 60 Minutes broadcast, he said, you may go into a Subway and you may get the tuna salad because you think you're being healthy. Well, in fact, the tuna salad has more calories than the roast beef. And you may have wanted the roast beef and instead said, I'll take my second choice because Thanksgiving's coming up and I'm trying to cut a few calories. That's why I would like the calories. Not so much so I can crunch every number, just so I know where I'm at.
I like the food police. I just don't want anything enforced.
Well, that's the thing. They're just trying to give you the information so that you can make a better informed decision.
Yeah, they're making headway into enforcing stuff.
I don't know.
First, you couldn't smoke anywhere.
Yes.
And now you can't smoke outside anywhere. There's signs that say don't smoke within 20 feet of this building. And now in Beverly Hills, you can't smoke in any public place, which means sidewalks and parks.
Well, I agree. As a matter of fact, first you could smoke everywhere,
right,
and then you could smoke outside, and now you're just going to have to go into your own cone of silence.
And pretty soon they won't let you do that.
And this all started in New York City, where this ban on trans fats began, and it spread through.
Listen, I'm a moderate on this. I would love, and I like the idea that anyone can eat as much crap as they want, let us know what the caloric count is next to the crap, and then I'll kill myself
yeah,
with
right.
it.
Yeah,
right.
I'll
get a bong load of trans fats if I want it.
We have,
just leave me be.
We have another clip from the same show, and again, falls. Well, you decide. Is it stupid or liar?
If people are interested in calories.
But what if they're not interested in calories?
They're probably not going to look anywhere for it.
If well, if it's on the menu board, there it is. They won't have to look for it.
If you can provide accurate information.
He says that because Americans love to customize, adding cheese or extra mayo, providing accurate information is nearly impossible and would certainly right. take the fast out of fast food. He showed us a untrue. Wendy's menu board that lists the combos.
Well, at Wendy's, we offer 5 substitutions for the fries and then 3 types of drinks. So you can order a combo 234 different ways.
Oh, my God. He then showed us what it would look like.
And obviously, it's no one can read it. And you would have to see this from 8 feet away.
All right. So what he did is he pulled out a board with that was literally just covered in random numbers.
Right. It was a what's their famous burger?
I think it's called
the Wendy's burger. Mm-hmm. Okay, he pulled out a Wendy's burger, and it said 300 calories or whatever. But they said with mayo, 390. With mayo and pickles, 410. But just for this one burger, it had a page and a half of writing.
Here's why the guy's a liar. First off, when people tell you we can't do something, it means they don't want to. Because you can do anything you want right. if it benefits you. If they thought they would sell one extra burger a year by putting the caloric intake next to every burger, they do it like that. They can do whatever they want. He brought up the combo meal. You don't need to bring up the combo meal. Just put the caloric intake next to the fries, put the caloric intake next to the burger,
and
put it next to the Coke, and we'll do the combo math. Whatever yeah. we order a combo meal with fries, a burger, and a Coke, we'll be in charge of crunching those three numbers. Nobody said combo meal. You could adjust. You could do every item that's on the thing. Now, as far as what do you do with cheese or what do you do with mayo, look, I don't need to get it down to the tenth of the percentile. Just tell me that the Wendy's burger has 572 calories, and if you want to do a little with cheese thing, you can do the 611 at the bottom that's with cheese, if you want. I don't even care. Put the burger, have all of them, just put a thing on the sign that says all represent burgers without cheese.
Yeah.
All caloric representation without cheese.
No cheese, no
and
ma'am.
Then you put one slice American cheese, 53 calories or whatever the hell it is.
Or after that, you take your shot. You know what it is. If you
right.
want to add calories to that, then that's up to you.
Assume you adding American cheese is not going to deduct 100 calories from whatever burger
right.
you're in. So you put the Wendy's burger up there, you put 596, and then underneath it, you have the old fashioned chicken whatever, and that's 619, but under that you have the chicken healthy California one, and that's 345.
Right.
And then I look at it and I go, whatever. And if I want to make it into a combo, if I want to get the number 5 meal, I'll add the math with the fries, because that's mentioned too. Just put the caloric large fry, caloric curly fry, caloric small fry. It's easy to do. It's very easy to do. And the number that the guy showed you, it was great. I love it when people F up. I love it when OJ tries to put a glove on and can't figure out how to put the glove on. I love the old Pert Plus commercial where the guy was talking about, how am I going to get the shampoo and conditioner from the bathroom into the shower? And then they show the guy doing that. I love any infomercial that shows a guy trying to cut a tomato with a baseball bat going, Billy, what am I supposed to do here? I want to provide wholesome meals for my family. Look at it. He's just mashing it with the bat. I love it when people intentionally act lame to get their point across. Well, the FDA or the food czar, whoever it is,
CIA.
They pulled their own board out 2 minutes later, and it was very clear and very easy to understand. It wasn't just a big random pile of numbers. Again, people lie, and they're stupid, and they do both, and that's just, unfortunately, the way we go. And the people that are doing the interviews, they don't hold a candle to these people's feet. They don't hold a flame to their feet and go, come on.
Yeah.
That's intentionally confusing.
Right,
first
you're trying
off,
to obfuscate and confuse.
Yeah. Why? Who said combo meal? We just said the calorie content of the items. Nobody said, of course, you get to do Diet Coke versus non-Coke versus regular Coke versus Sprite versus water versus there's so many. Of course, there's 237 different combinations because technically, according to your retarded math, I'll order a burger. Extra mayo with a Diet Coke, that's one. Extra mayo with a Sprite, that's another. Extra mayo with a regular Coke, and then we'll start mixing and matching. It's really infinite. That's BS. All right, let's see. Somebody's calling in from Chino Hills.
This is the version of This Is Your Brain on Drugs.
Hey, Cam?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Man, I'm going to get a Baconator combo with extra fries.
I know.
Chicken nuggets. I'm going right now.
How old are you?
32.
Okay, were you old enough to be watching those commercials, This Is Your Brain, This Is Your Brain on Drugs?
Sure, a little frying pan and an egg.
Damn, didn't that commercial always make you go, God, I'm not nearly high enough, and I'm starving.
Cam, I was the same way. I was watching that 60 Minutes. I was like, damn, these big companies are poisoning the youth of America. I wonder if the Wendy's is open until 10 out here.
Fry.
Oh, they're all open
curly
now.
Fry.
I know.
Curly fry.
Then Leslie Stahl gets herself a big old sandwich.
Look good. All right, so Stupid or Liar, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, Nicaraguan name that tune. Ozzy's going to sing Ozzy Osbourne songs, and you, my friends, are going to get some tickets. 866-901-ADAM. We have a tease. All right.
All right, then.
Bengay from the gray, kill the people, hoes and say.
Yeah, he sings that every year at Thanksgiving from my house. We all light a candle and join hands. Nicaragua, name that tune, 866-901-ADAM. You want to go see Ozzy? Well, call up, play along.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for a little Nicaraguan Name That Tune.
Oh, yeah!
It's your chance to win tickets to see Ozzy Osbourne with special guest Rob Zombie Friday, November 30th at Staples Center. All you gotta do to win is try to figure out which Ozzy song Ozzy is singing.
All aboard!
866-901-ADAM. Good luck on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Do we have an intro, by the way, Bald Brian?
Yes, we do.
Let's hear it.
I am an Iron Man.
It's Oswaldo, Nicaragua, Nick Nighton. You win ticket for see Ozzy Osbourne.
All right, let's get it started. We have the order you called in. Kevin was number one. Kevin?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
You ready to play, my brother?
I am, absolutely. Good to be on the phone with you, too, by the way.
Good to speak to you. Let's listen to Ozzy.
Bengay from the gray, kill the people, hoes and say.
Iron Man.
Sí, es bueno.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey.
We'll see you at the Staples Center, or we'll see these tickets on eBay. Either way, good times there. Kevin, where are you going to work?
Oh, I'm at work. I'm a truck driver.
Mm-hmm. So you're
in Hollywood right now.
You're driving in your rig right now, huh?
I'm parked and I'm waiting to get into a delivery right now.
Good Hollywood? Times. At this hour?
Mm-hmm.
What are you delivering?
I actually lumber. I start at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning usually.
Mm. Where do you work for? What company?
All Coast Forest Products in Chino.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to Home Depot or Osh across the street?
No, actually, I'm delivering to a stock building supply right now in West Hollywood off of Santa Monica.
Yes, know it well.
So that, yeah. And I deliver to Anna Walt and those other stores.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, stock is what Terry Lumber used to be. And there used to be a lady, I hold my fingers up in quotations, that manned the counter over at that place that was more man than I'll ever, ever dream of being. Yeah, the old stock lumber became Terry Lumber.
Let's play some games.
Let's talk to Brian. Brian?
Yes.
You ready to play some Nicaraguan Name That Tune?
Oh, you got that right, Ace Man.
Let's do it.
General Garing in their masses. You like wishing on black masses.
Tough one.
Try that one more time.
A classic Ozzy Osbourne hit. Let's play it again.
General Garing in their masses. You like wishing on black masses.
I'm going to have to say paranoid.
No, it's malo.
Tough. Should we move on? Should I toss you another one?
I'll toss
you another one, Brian. I like you. Let's
toss
him another one.
Sounds like a big fan, too.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
You
want
to do the answer to that one?
Let's save that one.
Okay.
Toss him another one.
Look in the mirror, tell me, do you think you lie in danger here? Yeah, no more tears.
Yeah. No more tears?
That is...
Es bueno.
Correct, Kevin.
Thanks, Wade.
I mean, Brian, sorry. Yeah, good times, brother. Enjoy yourself at the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right.
You going?
When is it? This Staples Center, Friday, November 30th. A week from Friday? Is that a week from Friday? Yeah, I think I might go to that.
My daughter really wanted to see Rob Zombie. I'm fighting in Canada that night.
You know, I had the same childhood.
Yeah.
I want to go see Rob Zombie. My dad had a boxing match south of the border or north of the border. Hey,
I was hot water.
Aria?
Yes.
You ready to go?
I am.
All right, let's give away some more of these Ozzy Osbourne tickets. Here we go.
She's my cherry pie, cold drink, water, social, Swiss or pie.
Can you play it again?
Sure. Okay.
She's my cherry pie, cold drink, water, social, Swiss or pie.
Had a little Iron Man sound to it, but I'll give you a clue. Different band. Not the Ozman on this one.
Oh, shoot.
Are you kidding?
Throwing you a little curveball.
Throwing you a curveball.
I know that song, too.
Little 80s rock.
A curveball implies it should be hard to hit, right?
If you're thinking it's Ozzy.
And Guitar Hero, it's on that song. It's on the.
No, it's Malo.
I've been served with one several times.
Oh, Aria. All right, listen, I feel bad for you. We'll give you another one.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Oh, she sounds so grateful. Mm. That's sweet.
General Garing in their masses. You like wishing on black masses.
Now, that was the one the other guy couldn't get.
Oh, my God.
To,
I was just trying to think of that one, too.
You had a curveball and a tough one.
I want to say War Pigs, almost.
Sí, yeah. Es bueno.
Wow.
That's a fan.
Am I?
Just like witches at black masses.
I'm impressed.
See, when Ozzy, singing. You know, when you hear an Ozzy song with the lyrics blood in it, you have to narrow it down to 239 songs.
It's Ozzy Osbourne is actually singing it. If he was speaking it to you, you never get
understand
it.
Aria, are you a huge fan? You must be.
What?
Are you a big Ozzy fan?
I am.
All right, baby
not
girl.
Not as big as I should be, but I am.
Well, obviously not a big Warrant fan. We'll see you. That was Warrant doing Cherry Pie, was it? We'll see you Friday, November 30th at Staples Center, huh?
All right, sounds good.
All right, good times. We need to take ourselves a break. Do we have an outro, Bald Brian?
Yes,
T. T's the news.
How does Bill Nye, the science guy, end up the lead gossip story for the day?
I hear he's in a rough trade.
I'll explain it to you.
I'm falling.
Oh, no. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll get with the news next.
Coming up this morning, we'll find out if you are smarter than a Raiders fan.
Answers. What were the names of Columbus's three ships?
The Nino, the Pinto, and the Santa Maria.
Have a little chat with Ice-T.
The tradition of America is to own slaves. I ain't with it.
Then talk to Prisoner David.
Recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
All that plus the news of Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci probably won't make much sense.
I take so many pills. through the course of the day that I actually get full.
866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
The original answer we had on Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan was, Manny Moe and Jack.
See.
All right. We need to do what I love the best in the show. I really do. My favorite part of the show, the news with Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
You remember Bill Nye, the science guy?
Good guy.
Who doesn't love Bill Nye?
I love Bill Nye, and he's the real deal. You know, a lot of the time you see guys on TV, and you go, oh, this guy isn't a this, and he isn't a that, and maybe that's true with Ty Pennington, but not with Bill Nye.
I got you the theme music.
Why all the hating?
I downloaded it from Brian's phone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this morning, there's a little talk about Bill Nye, and it's surprising, because he seems like a reasonable man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's requesting a restraining order. Now, there's several different reports. Some are saying it's against his wife of a year. Some are saying it's against his former fiance. But obviously, it's somebody with whom he's had a romantic relationship that went very, very wrong. He's claiming that she may have tried to poison him. He sought the restraining order back in September in a Los Angeles court, asking to keep Blair Tyndall, 47, away from his home in Studio City and forbidding her from contacting him. This stemmed from an incident September 3rd, when at 11:30 p.m., she was dressed in black, and according to documents, she, quote, emerged from my backyard carrying two plastic bottles filled with some sort of solvent. Apparently, she was trying to poison my plants, including some vegetables. She then fled on foot, and then a car sped away from the scene. Bill Nye is also stating that she drove by his house twice in the previous 3 weeks and that he complained of her leaving a coffee pot on his porch.
Oh, yeah. She's La Cosa Nostra.
Right, the coffee pot. I don't know what that means, but she's trying to poison his plants.
It's a San Francisco syndicate. Means you'll be drinking decaf, my friend, with the fishes.
You think you're getting calf?
You'll be napping with the fishes.
Yeah. Napping with the fishes.
You'll be a little groggy. Delicious.
Yeah, you think you're getting a grande, but instead you're going into the grande. That's right. Nice. The coffee syndicate. La Coffa Nostra.
Well, she says she didn't
agree. What's a coffee pot on your porch?
I don't want to get your shine box.
By the way, I wish someone would leave a coffee pot on my porch.
With a nice hot pot of coffee.
You know what, toaster oven, any durable good. I'll take it. Washers and dryers.
It's got to be a personal thing. Somebody says something to somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
He gave her the coffee pot. And by the way, that statement where I'm going to fix your wagon, where I bought you a car, or I bought you a coffee pot, or I bought you a toaster when we were in love, and now you're going to give it back to me? Greatest day of my life.
You want everything back that you've given.
Sure.
You can just say something that will stick with a woman in a fight that didn't mean much to you when you said it, but it will stay forever. Gretchen one time asked me, why do you drink so much? And I looked at her and I had a bottle of vodka in my hand, took a sip and said, because I can drink till you're interesting.
Yes.
And she, I mean, that's nothing compared to the meanness, but that's the one that sticks with her.
And all Bill Nye probably said was being with you was a grind.
Yes.
Or you're like a cup of decaf.
Right.
Something like
now
that.
Now this. But if she was poisoning the vegetables and, you know, he was going to eat the vegetables, you could argue that she was trying to poison him.
Yeah. This is a very, very dangerous individual.
It just leaves coffee pots willy-nilly on people's porches?
A mailman could have tripped on that. The Avon lady could have got her foot stuck in it and burned her ankle.
It is weird to think about the grown, 47-year-old woman dressed in black and sneaking out of his garden.
I love that love makes you do retarded things no matter what age and no matter what rank. You could be an astronaut and you're still going to do something stupid, as we learned a year ago.
Yeah.
Love forces smart people to do dumb things at any age, and that's what I love about it.
I should mention that while we're on celebrity gossip, that Mary-Kate Olsen was rushed to the emergency room of a New York hospital yesterday. According to her publicist,
Barbie's dream car.
That's the car she took. She left her dream house and her dream car.
She's driving in a pink Corvette, a foot long,
She's suffering from a kidney infection, according to her publicist, and she'll have to stay in the hospital for a day or so.
Now, is it just me? Are these two richer than God and feel like, well, I'm just going to make the scene? Are they having the greatest life? I know they're not happy. But they both have billions of dollars. I mean, it's a crazy, crazy corporation, the Olsen twins.
Mary-Kate's unhappy.
I don't know that they're going to find work. or so much work. I mean, they're going to do a bunch of stuff like, you'll be surprised to know that they sold $32 million worth of clothing or something last year. Insane. They never want for anything again in their life, but I don't know that they're going to be working as actresses. It just seems like they're now funding themselves and making the scene. And let's not forget, as long as these girls have been around, they're not older than 23, are they? I mean, they've been around as long as you can remember, but you met them when they were zygotes. You forget about that. Most people you meet in college or in high school or at work, and you've known the guy for 20 years, he was 20 when you met him. They were zero when you met them. They were literally 20 months when you met them, maybe younger.
Born in 86, the Olsen twins.
Wow, so 21.
Not to be just ridiculously trite, but the money thing can't possibly make you happy. I don't know anybody that's only real quality is being rich and then is totally happy or even mostly slightly happy.
No. But money is delightful.
It's delightful, but you know, you want to know
money problems. That's
you want to know why. I talked to a kid on Loveline when it was on MTV quite some time ago, and he was bragging, and I can't remember which kid it was. We had so many guests on that show, but I think he was maybe one of the kids from like Home Improvement or something, you know, and he eventually or basically said to me on the air and then some off the air that he was set for life. And it was pretty much, you know, syndication and all that kind of stuff. And he worked from age, you know, 9 to 15. And that was it. All he had to do was go to the mailbox and get the checks every day. He wasn't rubbing it in my face. We're kind of having a laugh about it. But during the commercial break, I told him that is the only life you knew. You see, you will never know what it's really like to enjoy that money because you didn't live your adult life without it or even your teen years without it. Look, everything's relative. If you crap into a gold chamber pot every morning, then if I handed you a silver chamber pot, you'd be upset. Whereas if I had a pot to piss in when I was growing up, I would feel like I was on top of the world.
You had a popcorn tin.
We did. When my dad was explaining that I had been on a flight when I was four, we flew from, you know, Cherry Hill, New Jersey to Menominee, Wisconsin.
That was popcorn.
The Wisconsin house had chamber pots. It was a cabin. It had an outhouse. But Wisconsin gets a little bit cold during the winter, and you don't want to head 100 yards to the outhouse. There were literally chamber pots underneath the beds, like we were living in a different
time.
But
you still appreciate the things you have, like something simple, valet parking, for example.
No, because the a-hole leaves the seat all the way up against the steering wheel, and I have to butter myself up and dive into my own vehicle and wedge myself in. But yes, if you grow up with something you don't appreciate it, you shouldn't. It's your life. It's what you know. It's all you know. The Olsons have only known a life of privilege. They've earned the privilege, but only a life where they were rich. They're not nearly as happy as you would be if you took an average 21-year-old from the inner city and said, guess who's going on a shopping spree?
Or at least as grateful. People always ask me, like in the sales department, boy, you want to go out on these sales, you really help, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, I used to be famous and lived in my car. I couldn't be more grateful for another shot.
Yes.
You know, and those guys don't know another shot. This is the life they know.
Well, I just see these guys all over the place, and I'm wondering, it seems like the screws are coming loose on them a little bit.
Well, Mary-Kate was treated previously for anorexia.
Right.
You probably remember another that. Stuff. And now she's got a kidney infection, says her publicist.
I always laugh at these stories, too, when they do those things. They go, Lance Armstrong's dating Ashley Olsen or whichever Olsen. And then you think, ah, you weirdo. And then they do an interview and their publicist comes out and they're like, Lance Armstrong, who's, I don't know, 40, is not dating one of the 21-year-old Olsen. They're just very good friends. And I go, oh, now you're extra weird.
Yeah.
Humping them was the only part that made sense. Now you're just hanging around with somebody who's 20 years your junior and has nothing particular
to
say.
And the only good answer is, no, I am not. I'm boning both of them, and collectively they're 46.
But isn't being very, very good friends with them a stop on the road to boning them?
I think it's publicist code or publicist speak for boning them.
I think it is not even code. I would never have a girlfriend that wouldn't have sex with me.
Well, they're not
Female friend, you mean?
Yeah, they're not girlfriends.
No, but I mean
acquaintances.
Like you and I are friends.
Well, I mean,
right?
You and Teresa are friends.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're not gonna go hang out like buddies, you know, and watch the game. Like, let's say you and I are best buds, right?
Right.
And we hang out, we go to the movies. You and I are you and Kimmel, okay?
Oh.
Now,
is this gonna end with me?
No.
You're cool. Okay.
If I needed $50,
right.
I said, dude, I need $50, I'll pay you back. Would you lend it to me?
Because
we're best friends? Thank you. If I turn to you and we go to Kimmel's house every week and we watch the game, we always hang out, and I said, Teresa, just a Hummer real quick. I haven't had one in days. Would you just give me one because you're my friend?
That's the equivalent to $50.
A friendly gesture.
Yeah, make it 45.
Least, let's make it.
Whatever it
Hold
is,
on,
would you give me one just because we're pals?
Did you floss?
No.
Are you eating a mint? I'm
right.
going to adjust this. We could get up to $57 here.
I'm not sure
it's
what
you're
saying.
It's not a price issue. The issue is my friend Adam would give me what I needed from my male friend Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Would my female friend Teresa give me what I needed from a female friend?
Did Jack Silver force you to have this conversation with us?
You need to verbally rape the news girl.
This is a real question.
All right, well, give the answer, Dee.
Just because we were best buds and I really wanted one, you possess the right
this.
Equipment.
It's so disgusting.
No, you're saying no.
She's saying no.
All right.
That's why guys and girls can never be
Your hypothesis
best pal.
That the equivalent that your female friend and your male friend, that all you need from your female friend is a blowjob is absurd.
But it's not absurd. I'm saying any equivalent that you want to give my male friend, would you help me move furniture? Would you give me a ride to the airport? Would you do this? Would you do that? The answer is yes, because he's your bud.
Okay, but you got to drive. If we're going to the airport, you definitely got to drive. If I'm giving you oral.
No, you're not giving me oral.
I don't understand. Who do I have to give oral to? T.
Nobody. T's got to give oral to our best friend, Danny.
What do I put you down for?
I think a ride to the airport.
Brian, you need
two orals.
Okay, so all I know is I perform oral. Kimmel is not going to stand for me performing oral at his house. He'll be definitely jealous.
I mean, you took one little ride with Jay Leno and Kimmel's still not over it. How's he going to feel about the oral?
That was horrible oral I performed on. Oh,
horrible.
But now you've tricked me into something.
Horrible.
All right, I get your point.
My point is,
here's my point. I hear this stuff all the time where the guy goes, I'm hanging out with ditzy starlet du jour, and then the publicist says, they're just hanging out, they're not having a relationship. And my argument is...
Stupid liar!
Stupid or liar,
not
yes.
all women fall under the category of stupid bimbo.
No, but...
Who wouldn't want to hang out?
No,
some
but
of us
all
are good
guys
company.
Do hang out under the umbrella of horn dog.
If Henry Kissinger is hanging out with Jessica Simpson and he's not trying to F her, he's either stupid or a liar.
What if
or
he's
dead.
Hanging out with Leslie Stahl?
Fine.
I'd bone her.
Let's talk about something uplifting, like the disappearance of Stacey Peterson.
Oh, thanks.
Not Lacey. Stacey.
Stacey, right.
She's 23 years old. She vanished from her house in the Chicago suburb of Bolingbrook on Sunday, October 28th. Her husband, 53-year-old Drew Peterson, is a sergeant at the local police department. He is a strong suspect in the case.
Yeah. He's bad cop central casting.
Right. The mustache.
Mustache and the hoodie, and he's just looking dicey as all hell.
His behavior's dicey, too. He didn't report Stacey missing. Stacey's family, says that she was afraid of him, and he has a previous wife who died under mysterious circumstances.
Well, she drowned in a bathtub with no water. That's the story I heard.
After lying low for a while, Peterson spoke out again yesterday doing an official interview with Matt Lauer. Here he is.
Just asking for his gut reaction.
Well,
are you worried about her, Mr. Peterson?
Go ahead.
Well, of course. You know, your wife leaves you and I have kids at home. You're very much worried about her.
And are you worried that she may never
come
back
leaves you.
To be a mother to these children?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I just said, are you
this
worried?
This is something that... am I worried?
Are you worried that she may never come back to be a mother to these children?
They may find her. I mean...
Yes, I am. Kids need a mom.
That guy sounded all
bad. He's obviously a dedicated family man because this is his fourth mom.
Yeah.
They'll find a fifth mom. And believe me, this guy, and this is what I love about women, Olsen twins included, this guy probably killed this woman. It seemed that way since the word.
I think you can say allegedly, and then
all
he
right.
just did it.
Allegedly. I'll say allegedly
this
killed.
Bastard allegedly
killed
did
his,
it.
Killed his fourth wife because she's missing. And again, it's just logic. Her family loves her very much. Her family's very worried about her. And if she just took off with a guy, as this guy alleged, don't you think she'd blow a call into mommy? Hey, Mommy, I know you've been watching the news. Hey, Mommy, I know you've been seeing all the reports about me being killed. Hey, Mommy, I know you've seen the news. They're digging up the body of the second wife who allegedly drowned, and you're assuming this guy killed me. I'm calling from a motel in Denver, and I'm telling you I'm fine.
I'm on the lam.
Well, let's talk about the third wife.
Yes, right. Please.
The one who died, supposedly drowned in a bathtub in 2004.
The thought I quickly wanted to finish is this guy could be convicted of killing the third wife in the bathtub. And who I thought was the second wife for some reason, but the third wife in the bathtub and the fourth wife, and if he got enough press, would be fielding proposals from prison.
Right.
This guy who, if he's convicted of killing his third wife and his fourth wife, will be spending the rest of his life in the joint opening up letters on Hello Kitty stationery with hearts where the dots should have been for the eye.
Right.
That's right, with ladies wanting to marry. And when they interviewed those women, better looking than half the women we've been with.
And our friend won't even get in the room.
That's right.
Okay, Kathleen Savio is the name of his third wife.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that potentially drowned in the bathtub in 2004, right, even though it was highly suspicious. The death was ruled accidental. As the search for Stacy continues, her body's been exhumed. Now, you know forensic pathologist Dr. Bodden.
Oh, yes.
I love Dr. Bodden.
He's great.
Well, he's on the case.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is discussing that body.
I found that this was a missed murder. It should have been classified as a homicide 3.5 years ago. And it was, as sometimes happens in this country, a murder that went unnoticed.
Well, Dr. Bodden thinks it was a murder.
I have no idea how this pathology works and how this science works, that you can dig up a body that died, you know, 5 years ago, pull it up, and look, I was just assuming he drowned her in the tub. I just, you know, you put your hands on her neck and you drown her. Now, I know that leaves marks,
right,
or you drug her. How can this guy dig up a body that's 5 years old, pop it open and go, oh, yeah. I mean, for me, if I saw a pickaxe still stuck in her back,
yeah,
I might go homicide. Maybe. But how the hell does he figure this one out? It's absolutely amazing. And
well, the bruises you were talking about, maybe there's some drugs in the marrow of the bone.
It's also the way the water was taken in, I do believe. But how many people just drown in a bathtub? I know it happens, but with dicey cop husbands.
I believe 90% of in-home injuries happen in the bathroom.
Yeah, slipping.
Yeah.
But not falling asleep while you're taking a bath. Anyway, not looking good for this
gent.
Not looking
good for this guy.
Well, I should say his first wife says that she doesn't think that he's capable of murder. The second wife says that he was controlling and abusive. The third wife, drowned in the bathtub, and the fourth wife missing.
And plenty of calls from the fourth wife to the family saying this guy's threatening to kill me. And that's all you really need to know.
Right. Now, lastly, something uplifting. Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts were on Oprah. Something I'm sure you'll be watching on Sunday with Lynette.
Yes.
I'll give you a preview. They're promoting their movie Charlie Wilson's War, and Tom Hanks has his own special acronym to describe Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Quake, each letter represents a quality of Julia Roberts. Let's take a listen.
Q stands for question, because for the rest of your life, everybody wants to know, what's Julia Roberts like? U is for upstaging. A is for asterisk, because then for the rest of your life, even if you win the Nobel Peace Prize, it will say on your tombstone, winner of Nobel Peace Prize, and made film with Julia Roberts. K is for knowledge that you can't change any of these facts. You just got to accept them. And E is for everybody, because everybody loves Julia Roberts. Everybody loves Julia.
Such an ass kiss-a-thon going on over there.
You know what, though? That's the bigger star being super nice. That was like, if you remember, you ought to be the Oprah demo to have dug that. But I'll bet the Oprah demo went, God, he's so wonderful.
Yeah, no, Tom
poop in my hand.
Tom Hanks is very smart because he's so generous and magnanimous all the time. And all anyone says is, oh, look at that big star. And he doesn't have to do that. Yet he does it anyway.
He hands out his own candy at Halloween. He stands at his front door.
Yeah, smart. Why not?
Very smart.
What was your rule? Be nice.
Be nice. Look, I learned almost everything I learned from watching the movie Roadhouse. In Swayze,
I'll rip your throat right out.
One of the best coolers in the business and smaller than people
expected. I thought he'd be bigger.
He thought he'd be bigger as well. He told his bouncers, be nice. Someone acts up, be nice.
Till when?
Until
there's trouble.
It's time not to be nice. Yes. Or something like that. The point is that's what Tom Hanks does until a guy comes at him with a boot that has a razor in the front of it, and then it's time not to be nice. Bald Brian is feverishly looking for Roadhouse.
I'm looking for Pain Don't Hurt. But
I'm sorry, Brian. Are you ready?
What about nobody wins a fight?
That's right.
Says it 2 seconds
what
later.
What about the end of the news?
Yeah.
But we don't want ever the news to end.
Because
we love you.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Good news. Alex Roy. Alex Roy. Who's Alex Roy? Well, he's what you call an extreme sports daredevil.
And he looks it, man. Wait, do you see this cat?
No, I haven't seen him. He's the... He wins the rally sports, 7-time trophy winner in the rally sports, set a new record. Now, we had the guy who had the old record. That's the Cannonball Run or the Gumball Rally or whatever. It's
remember
new
he
York,
like some guy?
New York to L.A.
This guy looks like he won the Cannonball Run.
He did it in 31 hours and 4 minutes, practically same time it takes to fly there if you include airport security,
right,
taking shoes off and standing in a line and being strip searched. He averaged, I don't know, it was 90-something miles an hour. I think he did it in a BMW M3. I'm going to go take a look at it. It's out in the parking lot. We have him in. He has the new record. We'll talk about the documentation and how that works and how he evaded the cops for 31 hours. And when you average 90-something miles an hour, well, that means there's got to be plenty of times when you're going 175.
Or faster.
Because there's going to be plenty of times when you're going 50 miles an hour.
Or stopped for gas or peeing or whatever. You're stopped dead.
Right.
You got to be going 200 every now and again.
We will take ourselves a break. We'll be back with the winner of the Cannonball Run next.
To the Adam Carolla Show. And now the gentleman who set the cross-country driving record, Alex Roy, sits down with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Alex Roy.
Thanks a lot, Adam.
Did I not tell you he looks like a guy that should have won the Cannonball Run?
Yes, he looks like he flew a crop dusting plane in here.
A biplane or something. Yeah, absolutely.
I went to the cross-country racers store to buy this outfit for him.
Looking good.
Hey, Alex Roy, first off, how do you document a cross-country run?
It's tough because the Guinness Book won't cover this because it's illegal.
Mm.
So, for those who don't know, can you just tell us what a Cannonball Run is?
Let me be clear. I didn't win the Cannonball because the Cannonball ended in 79. But for 25 years, people have talked about breaking the old records. So I entered these things, the Gumball Rally, things like that, which basically glorified road trips.
Right.
And then I realized that the real deal was just to get in a car and go across, and no one was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my friend David Maher and I got in my M5. We got a spotter plane with some other friends in it and a documentary filmmaker named Corey Wells. And she brought camera crews, New York and L.A., cameras in the plane. And about a little over a year ago, we finally did it after 2 attempts.
Now, you have a BMW M5, and what year is it?
It's a 2000 police blue, made German police blue.
Mm.
When we go on rallies, we paint it like a German police car.
Mm-hmm.
But for this one, we took the stickers off.
And you do what modifications to the car?
The car is mechanically pretty much stock. It's got an exhaust on it, but it's got 5 GPSs. We have thermal night vision cameras so we can drive without headlights, although we only did that for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it didn't work out the way you thought it might.
Well, someone called in a car driving by with no headlights, and that was more
right
conspicuous than a car going 160 with headlights. So,
right.
We have binoculars with stabilization, like military-type stabilization.
But basically, I went out and saw the car with him. He goes, are you a car enthusiast? And I said, yes, but not like... Adam is a car freak. He could take your car, dismantle it, put it back together, and it would probably go faster.
Mm.
I drive them till they explode, and then I get a new one. But his car looks like a car, and that was part of your trick, right?
You don't want to call attention to yourself.
No, it's got
to
be stealthy.
It looks like a car. It looks like anyone you ever saw, except for the inside with the binoculars and stuff.
Well,
you have to be close to see
it. I can testify to this, because I tried it in 89 in the Pope Mobile. I got about 12 feet from the Santa Monica Pier before I was arrested. Well, should have asked the Pope to leave. I think the Pope mobile before I commandeered. All right. Anyway, I shouldn't be talking about this.
Little finger off by accident.
Still some pending stuff out there. But Alex, so you take the and the thing about the M5, the BMW M5, is bone stock. It has 400 horsepower and is perfectly capable of propelling you speeds fast enough. It's not really about going 300 miles an hour. It's about your average speed, right? It's about getting tickets, getting pulled over, stopping for gas, things like that. How many times do you have to stop for gas in a run from New York to L.A.?
We stopped 5.5 times.
5.5?
Yeah, so a half tank refuel in Barstow.
And you had a supplementary tank in the trunk of the M5?
Yeah, we had about 20 extra gallons in there, which means you could drive 500 to 600 miles before you have to stop. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the limit of human endurance because, you know, there are no bathroom breaks. You pee at the pump.
What about, excluding that, because I hadn't thought of that when I was going to ask this question, what about refilling at 100 miles an hour? They do it on planes.
They do it in Knight Rider.
They do it on, the kid can do it. Yeah, what's wrong with you, tough guy?
That would.
Couldn't you do that, say, a van full of tanks of gas at, like, 60? Couldn't you do that?
I think. Well, you can go ahead and say, but it practically probably doesn't make sense.
We looked into it. We talked about a trailer with a fake horse full of gas. We talked about, you know, military refueling arms, making cars. But, you know, if traffic builds up or anything happens, you're going to have, you know, a nuclear bomb on the road. So that's conspicuous.
So you do it in 32 hours in change. How do you, as far as the technology goes, you know, people talk about radar jammers and scanners and all that kind of stuff. You never can tell if they work or not. And everyone's always debating, do these things work? How do they work? Which ones work? Is there one a consumer? Is there one that you would recommend to a consumer if a consumer was just going on your basic road trip? You know, you drive from L.A. Everyone I know who drives from L.A. to the Bay Area or L.A. to Vegas gets pulled over. And the reason they get pulled over is not because they're erratic drivers or even bad drivers. Cars today are so much better, so much safer, so much quieter, and so much easier to go fast in that you just stop paying attention.
You don't know you're doing 90.
The speed limit hasn't increased, but the technology has. We talked about the biplane. Well, the biplane used to fly 83 miles an hour, and it felt like you're going 1,000 miles an hour because your head was hanging out in the wind. Now you're flying a Learjet. It's pressurized, and you're going 640 miles an hour, and you're standing around playing Pong and drinking a latte. It feels like nothing.
Yep.
So I know no one plays Pong on a Learjet, but my point is the cars today with the tires, with the suspension, with the anti-lock brakes, with just the fact, remember you used to put you drive down the freeway in your mom's crappy car and you'd hear the wind whistling through the
crash in the window.
My mom had a 69 VW Squareback with a steering wheel that was wider than the car. The car is about 5 foot wide and the steering wheel is about 6 foot wide, and she had retread 75 series tires on there and drum brakes, and it was a roller coaster ride anytime that thing broke the 45 mile an hour barrier. Now you're driving this BMW and it's got all the technology in the world, and 90 feels like you're going 30 miles an hour and you get pulled over.
And, you know,
and this is what the cops are doing to us. So what should you put in your car to try to thwart the technology that
cash.
The cops
say? Lots and lots of
you're
cash.
Not gonna like the answer. You gotta rip out your car stereo and put in a CB radio.
Really?
Seriously. If you have a CB radio and nothing else, you'll pretty much never get a ticket.
Why?
You're kidding.
No, because the thing is, if you don't listen to music and you spend the whole time talking to truckers, they'll tell you where every cop is.
Really?
That's what they do for a living.
So this is what you did for just over 31 hours from New York City to Santa Monica. No music.
Oh, no. There's no
just CB.
There's virtually no talking, except that we're discussing where police or traffic might be.
Who's with you?
David Maher is an old friend of mine.
Just filming? Are you the only driver?
No. David and I would switch every 5-6 hours. And Corey Wells, who's making this movie about it called 32 Hours, 7 Minutes, which really recommends what we did.
I wanted to recently break a record, and CBS would not let me. But I am with a car nut here. Would you be offended if Adam and I tried to beat your record?
No, not at all. People have talked about it. I don't recommend it. If only you could look at look how much hair I lost. I mean, it was terrible.
Dude, he could lose that much hair and still have those eyebrows.
I must warn you in advance, Danny.
Oh, there'll I have
be,
to be able to smoke.
There'll be a couple of records you're going to be breaking. Because the record is 32 hours, right?
Right.
I cannot
3104.
Yes. I cannot go more than 30 hours without receiving oral. So this is really going to put a fire
if you want to be a team player, Danny.
Or just beat the record.
Or just bring Therese.
Or just give a rat's ass if that's all it takes to beat the record.
Alex, I'm a terrible driver. I would not be who you want along.
You'd be working
I'm slow,
stick.
I'm plodding, I have terrible reflexes.
So, Alex, you're saying you get yourself a CB and you just listen. Yeah, because how many times have you been going down the highway and you're going to Vegas, you're going out of town or whatever, and you pass that chicken-ass highway patrol guy who's parked on the overpass and you see him and you go, oh, the next son of a bitch who's coming down the street is going to get one. Or even on the street, I see guys parked up driveways all the time holding the radar gun. I think, oh, you poor bastard. And I do want to scream to the cars that are a quarter mile behind me, look out.
Yeah.
There's a snake in the grass, but I can't do it. That's all the truckers do.
Yeah, of course. I mean, when we come by, we say, you know, we're the blue four-wheeler coming by on your left. We're coming by, you know, 100 and change, sometimes more. And the truckers will tend to tell their friends ahead, oh, the blue four-wheeler with New York plates, these guys are okay.
Right.
If you don't do that, they'll block
you. Well, how do you win them over?
Yeah. Oh, they will?
Oh, totally.
If you're, like, impolite, they'll wreck your record.
Absolutely.
For you.
You win them over just by being polite?
Absolutely. Also, I offer them books.
Nice.
Books.
You
know, well, I wrote a book about it called The Driver, and so whenever we go to a truck stop, I always have a couple around.
Nobody loves books like truckers.
Well, no, many kind of driving. Speed and books.
They make great wheel chocks.
Yeah. You give me Adam Carolla, a fast car, a bag of meth, and I'll kick your ass at this game.
Alex, what inspired you to cross the country at average speed of 95 miles an hour?
Well, my dad always wanted to do the cannonball, and my mom said she'd leave him if he did. And, you know, I grew up around people a lot with really good cars. And, you know, I didn't have one. And everybody had these cars. They never really drove them. So it's like if you married a ballet dancer and told you she couldn't dance. It's like, what's the point? So, you know, after years of just hanging out with these guys, I was like, why not? You know, I'm not going to climb Mount Everest, but I can drive.
Where'd you grow up?
Why
everyone had
you?
A nice
that
car.
That looks like the stupidest freaking thing in the world, climb Mount Everest.
It's so skydiving. It's dangerous stuff, man.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I wouldn't do it.
I did it twice, and it was scary, but I had one to do it. But Mount Everest is cold and horrible when you die.
It's far away.
This is fun and warm and in a BMW.
And at least when
this
I get
rocks.
Here, I can have coffee and come see you guys.
What is one of the, what was the previous record, the previous cannonball run? Well, there's that was sort of unofficial, right? I mean, what was the one from 79?
Well, since 79 was the last cannonball, and that was 32 hours, 51 minutes. And you're right, by the way, they stopped the cannonball because they said good cars are getting cheaper. Too many people are going to try to this. It's going to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
There was a secret race in the 80s called the U.S. Express, which is what that 3207 film was about. And that record in 83 was 3207. And that was documented. In fact, CBS News was there and did a whole piece about it.
Mm-hmm.
And people forgot that.
Always
now, how come no one arrests you for breaking laws after the fact? Now you're talking about it.
They didn't catch them.
That's pretty much the answer. But, I mean, look, they could come after me and hit me up with speeding tickets. But unless someone is injured or killed, it doesn't bump up into, like, a felony
could
street
they?
Racing.
Could they walk in right here and say, you just admitted you went 130 and go, dude, I'm on the radio. It's a bit. I'm making it up. I didn't even drive.
They, well, you know, the book and the film together, I guess, could.
The good news is you have to document it if you want the record. And the bad news is you have to document it if you want the record.
Look, if you do something like this and you come forward with it as we have, you know, you got to take the fall for whatever comes.
You'd be a martyr for all the dangerous drivers and speeders.
Well, a cautionary tale, because I'm not saying it's a great idea.
Alex, Roy, it was nice to meet you. Do we, where do we send people to get your book to see the documentary?
The documentary is at, you know, www.32hours7minutes.com. And my website, you can get the book and see more, is www.gumball144.com.
Good times. Nice to meet you, Alex.
A real pleasure, man.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do a little Angel Adam, Devil Danny. We haven't done it in a while.
Nice.
866-901 Adam. I think we represent both. Very nicely on this show. You call up with your dilemma.
A real dilemma, please.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Doesn't have to be life or death, but maybe you're thinking about cheating on your spouse.
Yeah, not stealing a stapler from the boss's office. Okay.
Yeah. Call with your dilemma. I'll give you the pro. Danny will give you the con, and we'll do it next. Angel Adam, Devil Danny.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Do you have a moral dilemma that you could go either way on? Call 866-901-ADAM and talk to Angel Adam and Devil Danny.
Hi, my dilemma is that my girlfriend and I are virgins and we're waiting for marriage.
Cross that finish line. That's the goal, and the finish line for you, my son, is matrimony, and then you literally finish in the church. I want to hear... And then you go, there'll be no honeymoon.
Practice or your plumbing's going to back up. You won't be able to do it anyway.
Mm. So you're saying,
Your penis is a muscle and it will atrophy. Get to work.
Uh-huh.
Angel Adam, Devil Danny, right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Let's start with, we have an intro? Forgot about that.
Got a moral dilemma? Ask Angel Adam.
Do not cheat in wedlock. It will haunt you.
Or Devil Danny.
Climbing over their corpses to the top of the food chain.
Now we speak to Ashley. Ashley?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on? What's your dilemma?
My dilemma is that I am watching my parents' house. They are in Hawaii right now, and they get back today.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, our wretched beagle got out, mm-hmm. and I'm debating whether or not I should continue looking for her or just, you know, go and let
me. Speaking of watch the house, tell me if this is out of line. I was vacationing last year, so I told my assistant, hey, could you come over and watch the house? And he said, oh, that's awesome. Big screen TV, plenty of room, swimming pool.
Exactly. Yeah.
He was disappointed when I told him, no, stand outside and watch the house. And he said, I can't go in. I said, I didn't ask you to inhabit the house. No, watch I'm not that. Letting you and your cooties in here. I asked you to watch the house, and you agreed. Now, here's a slicker.
I would say if
and
no
a cup of noodles. I'll be back in 10 days. Watch the house. I don't need you in my house eating my food and farting up my bathroom.
I think Ashley's parents actually let her in.
Oh, you...
Could you
because my folks say watch the house. They mean watch.
Yeah.
Oh, they let you into the house?
Yeah.
Oh, these are saints.
Wow.
Saints.
Ashley, what's wrong with the beagle and what's its name?
It's in Folsom and her name is Josie.
My dad said he would let me in the house when he's done counting and categorizing the Cheerios. He said, just hold on. let me get a count on the Cheerios.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can come into the house.
And Josie's a bad dog.
Bad dog.
What is your actual problem?
Should she let Josie the bad dog not come back, or should she find it?
Oh, you mean you want to let the dog be missing so you don't have to deal with taking care of the dog?
She's called
nuts. Right, but to add to the dilemma, my hatred for this dog is well known. So I have a feeling that if I let the dog go and just, you know, maybe be a wild dog, a wild beagle,
Sure, feral beagle.
They're known to survive well in the wild.
Great pub.
The wild beagle.
Feral beagle.
Feral beagle.
That's a band I was in high school. Okay, Ashley.
Yeah.
This is a family pet. It's called man's best friend. But when we say man's best friend, we don't just mean the dudes. We mean mankind.
For argument's sake, it was my dog originally, and then I decided I didn't like the dog anymore.
Sure, but I've had old girlfriends. I don't get to put them down because they were once my girlfriend.
I mean, Ashley, this dog's not going to survive.
All right, shut up. Would you? Jesus.
She put her down? Who gives away their dog and then tries to kill
it? Hold on a second. Now I'm angry. Quiet down, devil. Ashley?
Yeah.
You've got to be 10 kinds of hot because you're 15 kinds of annoying.
Oh.
Yep.
I know hot when I hear it. This is hot. How old are you, baby?
22.
And how hot are you?
I'm pretty hot.
Yes. And do you know how I knew you were hot?
How? Because I'm annoying?
Super annoying.
Slightly evil.
You're evil and annoying, and this is what happens to all beautiful women. They don't know when to shut up. They've never been told to shut up because people are looking at them. And if we were in person, I would be absorbing every word you say like a large sea sponge staring at your large sea cups. But over the radio, when I don't get to see you, you're super annoying, and that's how I know you're hot.
You've got it backwards, Carolla.
Yes.
The hotter they are, the more often you tell them to shut up because they're not used to it. And they go, oh, my God, what a man.
Well, I'm not saying what you do. I'm saying what society does.
Society's a bunch of pusses.
I'm just saying I'm not saying how Danny Bonaducci would handle his relationship with Ashley. I'm saying super hot chicks are empowered because society doesn't tell them to shut up.
Right. Well, in my relationship, after she was done cleaning my house, I might toss her a bone.
Oh, and let's see if that made her hot. Ashley?
Yes.
Danny says when you're done scrubbing his floors, he may toss you a bone.
Oh, excellent. I'll look forward to that.
Ashley, how do you support yourself out there in Sacramento?
I'm a student and a nanny.
Everybody, put some cotton in your ears and drop your cotton on your pants. Loudmouth Ashley's in the stage. Teflon.
on the ears, easy on the ass.
What the hell is that?
That was weird.
What the hell happened?
She didn't actually have any background songs. She talks all the way through her strip.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? She just has a monologue.
Ashley's like up there on stage just shouting over Warren. I shouldn't be here. I'm better than all you. I'm way too hot. You know, my agent says I could be a model, but I'm too short, so instead I have to shake my moneymaker for you, loser.
I sometimes do print work, though.
Treat the queen like the maid and the maid like the queen. That's how you keep the chicks.
Hey, Ashley?
Yes.
Hey, do you have a boyfriend?
I have a husband.
Mm.
Do you have a dog? Sorry.
Sorry,
it's
listen.
My dog. It's my
look, I'm distracted by you. Look, here, you want to get back at your family, keep the dog, have sex in your parents' bed.
All right.
All right. Do it once tonight, flip the mattress, and do it again tomorrow. That way you cover both sides. I've made that mistake before. We only got one side.
I thought you were the angel.
I know. He's screwing me.
Were a caller.
Yeah.
I tried to do the angel thing. You kept butting in.
I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
Okay.
Do you or do you not have a volume button right over there, Adam?
I can hit a hold on her. All right, but I'll take her word for it. Listen, yeah. Ashley, is the dog there or is the dog currently gone?
Gone.
The dog is gone.
Uh-huh.
You should go look for the dog. I'll tell you why. A, just like the guy we're talking about, the cop whose wife they're exhuming because she thought she drowned, but now it seems like murder, you have some skeletons in your closet. Your parents know you're a demon seed, and they're not going to believe you when the dog you hated is mysteriously missing when you return. So not only were all eyes and all fingers point to you, but what about the big set of eyes upstairs? That's right. I'm talking about the bearded dude in the sandals and the robe. You see, his eyes know all and tell all, and you don't want him to tell all to you when you're trying to get through St. Peter's pearly gates. Danny?
Too easy. All right, Ashley, I'm going to agree with Angel Adam for a moment. You should go find the dog. If you can find the dog, find the dog. But then that's when you use your evil darkness of hotness.
Yeah.
You go to the vet and you say, holding your breasts, you like these, doc? This dog has cancer. It needs to be put down, doesn't it, doc? And the doc puts the dog to sleep with an official note which explains what excruciating agony that dog was living in and what a favor you have done this family by putting this dog down rather than letting it through the agony of its organs being eaten away constantly by this growing cancer that started in its kidney and has spread to its brain.
Mm. That's pretty brilliant. I have to say, that is brilliant. I mean, if she gets a doctor's note that the
damn
dog has,
right.
It's evil, but it's genius.
If she's as hot as my angel says, a doctor. I've gotten stuff from doctors.
Ashley?
She could get this dog killed and a note saying she did the right thing and come off a saint.
I feel
she
like.
You got a hell free card.
You've got your yin and your yang there. Now it's up to you to decide.
Oh.
She sounds hot when she's thinking. All right, baby doll. Husband's a lucky man.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's going to kill himself in a few years, but for now...
Someone's calling just to rip into her.
Uh-oh.
On line 5.
Where did this bit go?
I'm sorry, I just derailed it.
Hey, Mike?
Yo, what's up?
You want to rip into Ashley?
Yeah, just say she's a typical dumb bitch to go get a dog. It's a typical move from a dumb little bitch.
Yeah, but she's good looking.
Well, we don't know that, but you know.
I know that. Yeah, this is confirmation.
Well, we just got to keep her, put her in her place because we know her brain power.
All right, but Mike, if you saw her in real life, you'd probably just be nodding your head like a stooge and eating out
That's
of the palm of her
Mike
pump.
Is angry.
I know.
Perhaps.
Ashley gets a doctor. Says Mike has cancer and put him down.
We know that's the case. We know that the case with her. Go around making a mess and asking other people to clean it up.
Why? Why not go around making a mess and asking other people to clean it up if they're stupid enough to clean it up?
Hey, Mike.
Well, I mean, whatever. She gets a dog, throws it at her parents. Now she's like, oh, I just don't like it anymore. Just like kids. It's a joke.
Mike, how are you doing in the ladies' department?
You know how I'm doing.
Oh, man.
I'm out and about every night, Adam. You know how it is.
Making the scene. It's tough in Dockers and generic sneakers, though, to get laid. All right, Mike, what do you do for a living?
Well, Adam, I'm not going to get all into that, but I just want to, like...
Why not?
Put it down. Well, I could, but I just want to put it down about her. I mean...
All right, I can dig it. Look, and I appreciate it. I'll tell you the guys who don't want to get into their work, the guys who make 28K a year. Those are the guys who aren't at liberty. Brian, you're making 28.5. What are you talking
about?
Come
on!
Wow. Really?
That's weird. I have that on me.
Yeah. I got Brian more money.
Good for you, man.
I said to him, this guy's being underpaid. And this company's such, they're so scummy. They're so horrible. Jack Silver's so horrible. You know, he's like, I kept telling him, Bald Brian is the smartest guy in this room, and he's very important to the show. How about you pay the guy a living wage? Because he gets paid less than the receptionist, less than Peanut out in the main hall. And so what they did is they gave him nothing. And so I supplemented their nothing with money out of my pocket. Because
we got a green room. Why can't he sleep there?
I feel like he's important. Now, I said, look, I'm not coming back to the bargaining table until you pay Bald Brian. He has to get paid this year. I don't want to sit next to a guy that's getting paid less than temporary receptionist.
Yeah.
Literally, he's getting paid less than a Kelly girl would get paid. I said, you need to start paying him. So then they gave him a raise. It's like $250 a week or something. And it basically got him. So they gave him a bump. It's like $1,000 a month, which is a good step in the right direction. Now they're all, hey, man, we paid Bald Brian. Look at us. And I'm like, you didn't pay him the first year. And a lot of companies do this, and it's despicable. They don't pay somebody the first year. And then the second year, they give him a raise, and they bump him from barely paid to just under the poverty line. And they're like, hey, everybody, look at us. We're saints, aren't we? No, you're still paying him less than he deserves, so kiss my ass. And you want thanks. You don't get thanks. You saved money the first year on him by barely paying him anything. Now you just pay him less than he deserves.
Why don't you pay back the money you owe him for the first 2 years when you grossly underpaid him?
That's...
plus interest.
Oh, please. So pathetic.
All right, meanwhile, where I should we? Shut
That's
up.
A great bit.
Yeah, I don't have a contract. So.
I'm angry. All right, where were we?
No, please.
Cheat on the girlfriend? Jose?
Yeah.
Ugh. Jack Silver. You want to cheat on your girlfriend?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm turning 21 and I'm going to Vegas.
All right. I feel like this is a nice substrate that we can build a bit on. Going to Vegas for the first time.
Turning 21.
Oh, congratulations.
Turning 21. How long have you been with your girl?
Oh, 5 years. And they've had a good streak. They've been loyal.
It's easy to be loyal when you're 14, by the way. Jeez. It's that or beat off the SpongeBob. Most people stay loyal. Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of...
14. Look, listen, Jose.
Elmo.
Elmo. Wait a minute. How dare you bring up Elmo?
I'm sorry.
You know that's my kid's god. They worship Elmo. Elmo. I come home. Elmo.
Sometimes they say daddy.
No. They either say daddy or homo. All right. So, Jose, going to Vegas.
Yeah.
First time. A woman who you've been with since the eighth grade. And you're thinking about cheating. First off, I know she's safe because... what are you going to do? Just get laid over in McCarran? I mean, it's not like women are throwing themselves at you. You're squirrely. You've just turned 21. But what the hell? You go to Vegas. Look, because your girlfriend, because your partner, because whoever doesn't know what you're doing doesn't mean you're not doing it and doesn't mean you got away with it because you know you're doing it. You have camcorders in your head. They're called your eyeballs.
Right.
And they're hooked up to a long-term TiVo known as your brain. And they film and store everything. And then you get to replay it. So she doesn't know you cheated. You know you cheated. You and her, well, you'll be broken up a year from now. But guess what? Your TiVo, your cheating TiVo, great country song, your cheating TiVo and you, we'll take it with you, and you'll never forget it, Devil Danny.
Once again, I could not agree more with my counterpart, Angel Adam. There are TV cameras in your head that will play this back forever. In other words, it's called a porno starring you. And the next time you have to bone the same chick you've been boning every day since you were a teenager, and you can barely stand the sight of her anymore, you can barely wake up and go, oh my God, is that the same vajayjay I had to look at for the last 7 years? I'm going to help you out. Right in my hand, I hold a free VIP booty pass to the Bunny Ranch in Nevada. It is yours. A whore is not cheating. A whore is masturbation with a flesh toy. You'll go there, you'll get laid, it won't cost you a dime, and you'll have that camera in your head. Every time you're with your girlfriend, you can think whatever you want about the new girl and rock on like it's brand new sex, buddy. It'll help your relationship. Okay. And I'll buy.
That makes so much sense.
Thank you.
Aww, it's adorable when the devil calls it to the JJ.
He was holding a pack of cigarettes, by the way, Jose. I feel like I need to tell you that.
Yeah.
No, he does have a card.
Yeah. There,
and it is a VIP pass, non-transferable.
Nah, but if I give him a call, are you kidding right now? The Bunny Ranch?
I think Mr. Hoff will...
775-246-FUC, and then you can guess the last one.
Really? That's the number?
That's the number.
That's a classy 246 place to have.
Well, hold on a second. Shouldn't, hold on a second.
By the way, the address is 69 Moonlight Road.
Let me say this about the phone numbers. I thought the phone numbers, I thought they were like vanity plates.
Yeah.
Like if I decided I wanted the vanity plate that was K-U-N and you know what I mean? You could do the rest of the math. They would go, sorry, we're not going to give you that plate. Every once in a while, there's some guy that has.
Slips through.
Well, even family names. Like there'll be some family name, like the guy would be like Heebman or something, but it sounds like a racial slur. I didn't want to bring the blacks up again,
Thank
T.
Thank you.
The point is they'll say you can't put that on your plate. And you'll go, but that's my name.
Right. I know. My grandfather's name, and I'm not kidding you, was Hyman.
Right. Excuse me, then.
He didn't
know.
He came from Ellis Island. He probably
misspelled
it. Hold
on. Let me scrape myself up off the floor.
I didn't mean to offend Mr. Carolla. So the phone number is actually 775-426-DUCK.
Uh-huh.
Look at your phone.
Mm-hmm. I see. Because there are more than one letter on each number.
Got it.
All right, so if you got called Duck, you'll do it. But what's he supposed to do now?
He's supposed to be on hold. I will send him my VIP booty pass. I will call them personally. Let him know he is my guest. He can give a fake name, he can give a real name, whatever he wants to do. But that is not cheating. You'll never see her again. You don't know her name. And it will improve your sex at home. Believe me, when you're starting to get bored and all of a sudden you play back that Bunny Ranch chick, a 10 on the Richter scale, and you're with your 5.5 girlfriend, you're going to go nuts. It's going to be the best sex ever, and it's going to improve your relationship. Listen to me on this one. I'm the man on this one, and I'm buying. Yeah, I'm buying your flying.
Because I'm going to be with her for a long time, so I'm thinking...
You're in and out of the Bunny Ranch. How old are you?
I'm 21.
Yeah, you're in and out in 4 minutes, dude. This is four minutes of your life.
Sweet. Why are you corrupting him?
Promise
it's
me...
It's my job! I'm the devil!
Promise me you guys have tons of kids, number one. Number two, Danny rarely puts his money where his pitchfork is, so this is a unique opportunity, and not one to be passed up, Jose.
Ooh. Nice. I'm thinking I'm going to take it.
I'm going to put you on hold. I know you have a gig as a motivational speaker, and you have to get back to the Underachievers any second now, so I'm going to put you on hold. Where do you work? Somewhere involving a pallet jack or a forklift, something where boxes are moved and delivered?
I'm a caregiver in a home.
Oh, really?
To the elderly or to people who are in hospice
care? Let me try caregiver. Hey, take care of that bedpan. That's caregiver.
Well, now you're going to be a caretaker.
Jose, to whom do you give care? Do you give care to the elderly?
Yes.
Oh,
the elderly and mentally disabled.
All right.
Just go in and just ask the hottest chick there. Say, I'd like a sponge bath, and that's just a start. And they'll do it.
Look, this may be out of line, and I don't want to sprout any devil horns, but why bring sand to the beach? I mean, you're working at a place where people are incapacitated.
You want him to molest the old people.
I'm not saying molest.
You want him to slip one
if
to
I
the
If I was in a vegetative state.
Or the mentally
if
disabled.
If I was in a... T.
Yes.
If you're in a vegetative state for, let's say, a number of years. Because people do this all the time, you know. Imagine not seeing your family for 5 years. Imagine not eating solid food for 5 years or following your favorite team. How about not getting laid for 5 years?
But you're in a vegetative
Who's
state.
Who's doing who the favor?
In other words, you think Terry Schiavo was wanting?
And you think talking to them brings them back? A good humping.
A good stump, yeah.
I got it right on my living will. If I ever go into a coma, copious amounts of oral.
Really?
Try to revive
I'm
me.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
every
I mean,
time
ask
I had
the family
sex,
to leave the room first,
right.
And then.
Every time I had sex with my ex-wife, coma. When I was done, she'd come out of it.
That's right.
It was amazing.
Danny's coma buster.
I liked Red Bull, but coma buster will do.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. We got a winner. We're going out with Jose.
Angel Adam. Give the devil his due.
Devil Danny.
First of all, I think God hates you.
Hold on.
I am not done giving advice yet.
Where are we? What time is it? All right. I got some more stuff I saw on CNN this morning. We brought it up. We brought it up early. Brought it up about 6 a.m. this morning, but it's been over 2 hours. So I'm going to bring it up again. I talked about the news clip I saw this morning where the guy was tased to death once again. I don't feel like the problem are with the tasers. I feel like the problem is with people not listening to people who have tasers. Cops and security personnel have things that can harm you. That's what we like.
Right.
We want them to have billy clubs and guns and tasers and bean bags and rubber bullets and everything else. We want them to be able to subdue you. The idea is not to get to the point where they're having to draw the gun or pull the bean bag or the taser out, nail you with it. They usually, as a rule, cops, and I know this flies in the face of a lot of popular belief, but your average cop, 99% of your average cops want to pull you over, give your chicken ass ticket, and get back on the road to hand out another chicken ass ticket. They don't want a confrontation, right, especially in this day and age, because everything's filmed and everything's being brought up, yeah, and Al Sharpton's marching and their career's over. They would like to do their job, and this goes with everybody and their job. Everyone wants you just to come in, have the exchange, leave your money, right, and split. And the cops, essentially, like, when you go to the Starbucks, here's what they want. They want you to come in, pay $3 for a coffee, and leave. They don't want to argue. They don't want to confront. They don't want to wrestle with you, because that doesn't save enough time for the next guy with the $3. The more people they can get passing by the cash register, the more money they make. Well, that's what the city does with cops. They send them out and they go make money. Instead of $3, it's $129 for a chicken ass moving violation. The more they can pass by their mobile cash registers, the more money that's in the coffers of the city. That's how it works. So it doesn't behoove them to argue with you. And the guy at the airport who's telling you to calm down, he wants you to calm down. He's a human being. He does not want to wrestle you to the ground and hit you with a taser and possibly have you scratch his cornea with your hepatitis C, yeah, fueled fingernail.
One of the true things in cop shows, when they shoot a guy and the one cop looks at the other cop all cool and goes, this is going to be a lot of paperwork.
Right.
It is.
It is.
They don't want to do it.
But we're forced to, and I feel like people aren't listening. I think we have a whole generation of me people, and the whole thing about me is, well, you don't exist. And when you tell me to get out of the car, or when you tell me to intertwine my fingers and put them behind my back, or when you tell me to get on the ground, or when you tell me to calm down at the airport, that's you. That's not me. I'm going to do what I want. The problem is you have a taser, and now you're tasing me, bro. We'll take a break. I'll play the clip. I want to know, are we losing our discipline? Is this whole society of everyone gets a participation trophy and teachers aren't allowed to discipline the students? Are we giving birth to a whole society of adults now who tell cop staff off, thus they're getting tased, thus they're getting killed? Quick break. Back with that next. Thanksgiving, not thanks-taking or thanks-eating. Thanksgiving. So let's give something back.
Webcast live on AdamCarolla.com, featuring Danny's mom, Betty. A special musical performance from Adam's dad, Jim. An all-Thanksgiving version of Will Angie Eat It?
I Wanted My Turkey.
And the story of the first Thanksgiving, starring the deaf frat guy.
Hell yeah.
And Oswaldo.
It's pretty funny.
Adam Carolla's Family Thanksgiving.
The thing about Thanksgiving boozing is that people, they make booze twice a year. They're not good boozers.
It's amateur day.
That's right.
Tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm a little nervous about the pie situation at the Carolla house for Thanksgiving.
Why? What's going on?
What happened was, we are going to have like 28 or 30 people at my house. Everybody. All the relatives and the step relatives and the distant ones you've never seen before are all converging on my house, which is fine. But my mom is in charge of the dessert. And I saw her Saturday, and my family makes me nervous, as you know. Not nervous like they're going to cause any harm or anything, but my family's the kind, they're just, you know, they'll, you know, there'll be eight people in the picnic, and they'll show up with a bottle of white wine, and you'll go, wow, there's eight of us. And they'll go, oh, I just got this one. And you'll go, yeah, but we can all have a thimble. And they'll go, oh, I didn't know. And next thing you know, you're not getting buzzed and trying to play Frisbee, and that's very dangerous.
Alcohol, not nearly as important to you as it should be.
So,
somebody be on a run before they open the cork.
Well, I will be on a run is what happens. So when I hear Mama's in charge of the pie, well, Mama don't know how many people are showing up. So I say, hey, Mama, how many pies you bringing? And
how would I know that?
I'm going to make a couple of pumpkin pies. And I said, I'm going to need half a pumpkin pie, and that's on Thanksgiving. I'm going to need the second half the following morning.
Right.
So that's one pie gone, and there's 29 other people for one pie. So I said, we're going to need some pie. And she said, you know, we're going to have some of this, and your sister's going to do some of that. And if everyone doesn't get pie, and I said, no. Here's the deal. More people are going to have two pieces of pumpkin rather than people, then there will be people that don't have one piece. So I'm going to need a bunch of pies. And she said, well, we'll. And I thought, I do like the home cooking and all that kind of stuff, but I'll tell you the one thing that seems to be better is a Marie Callender's pumpkin pie.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
I've had people do the pumpkin pie. Here's the problem with the homemade pumpkin pie. Little sag in the middle, couple of weird cracks, and then a water, then a puddle.
Right.
It's a more than a pie, it's a puddle. It's a puddle pie.
Yeah.
It's got a little, and it's not very thick. It gets a little thin in the middle and dips, and then you go, then you hear the, I made the crust myself, which means that it's going to be all chalky and weird. I don't know what it is, but the $5.99 you give to Marie Callender's to make that pumpkin pie, that is the best $5 you're ever going to spend in your life. So I gave to my mom $60, and I said, baby, go sick.
I want every penny of this on pie, too.
Go to Marie Callender's. Go get yourself six pumpkin pies. And it's always like, well, do we need? But here's the thing about the pumpkin pie, and it's the beauty of having money, everybody. You don't have to eat all the pumpkin pie that night. Give it away. Eat it the next morning. I'll eat it. You'll eat it. I'll hand up. If we have two pumpkin pies, I'll say, who's the poorest person in this party? Everyone's hand will come flying up, and I'll say, everyone fight over the pie. Take it home. Enjoy and take it home, and Merry Christmas. That's what I'll say. So my feeling is I don't want to run out of the pumpkin pie. So I gave my mom $60, and I said, swing by Marie Callender's and make and be with the pie. Got the news yesterday from the wife. Mom's going to make the pie.
You've already said I'd like you to buy the pie. Five pies.
Look, all I'm saying is I've done what I could do.
You need backup pie.
My mom can make a pie, and my sister can make a pie. So I expect not to be disappointed. On the other hand, I don't want to supplement my pie with some weird cobbler thing.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a cobbler fan, but
I'm
it's
a
not
cobbler
pumpkin pie.
Fan too, but what I don't like around Thanksgiving is the person that says, we do sushi on Thanksgiving, or we do a duck. We don't do a turkey. You can do whatever you want on the side. When I get my fill of turkey, maybe I'll try your Swedish meatballs, but it's Thanksgiving. I want my pumpkin pie. I don't want weird cobbler. I want my pumpkin pie. So,
see,
Mom, sis, if you're listening, bring the pumpkin and then experiment.
We do a weird main dish for Christmas. We do my father and his father's recipe of homemade ravioli. And every Bonaducci, with the possible exception of my sister, has the same little scar on the back of their hand, the little dots. That's from being stabbed by another Bonaducci when we're getting down to the last five.
Oh, ravioli. Yeah.
That's some good-ass ravioli.
I don't feel like I don't think there's anything I enjoy more and order less than ravioli, because I love ravioli. It's just, I know when the four ravioli show up, when I order raviolis, I always want four more.
I know, you start parsing out that last one.
My sister Celia, she's the first generation girl to make the ravioli, and they're fantastic. But you know what we make for the Christmas party? 400.
Oh.
And they're big.
Oh, well, then I'm good.
Yeah, you're set, buddy.
So let's move from pie and Thanksgiving to CNN.
Real quick.
Spoke about it. Yes.
Does IHOP across the street make a decent pumpkin pie? Do you know?
I don't know. I do know it's hard to F up a pumpkin pie, but I am saying, and I mean this with no disrespect to all you great pie bakers, make me an apple pie, make me a cherry pie. Pumpkin is the one thing that they do better at the pie place than you do at home. I don't know. The sagging, the cracking, and the water puddle always screw with me. All right, where were we?
Tasing.
Ah, that's right. Let's hear this from CNN.
In Florida, a 21-year-old man died after being tasered three times. Jacksonville police stopped Christian Allen on Sunday night because his car radio was too loud. According to police, Allen got out of the car, pushed the officer, and tried to run away.
Definitely not a Jew.
That was the first thought we had. Second is, this led into a CNN story about taser deaths on the rise. Some of it is just news fanning their own fart flames. But the other part is, more people are dying of tasers, but it's not more people dying of tasers. More people would die from nightsticks and handcuffs and chokeholds because more people are dying because they're not listening to the cops.
Well, it's just a spin on your old game that you just played a moment ago. Stupid or tasered.
Right.
If you wouldn't be stupid, you wouldn't get tasered.
Right. We have tasers because too many people died in chokeholds.
Right.
That was the old taser. Too many people died getting beaten with nightsticks. That was the old taser. This is a less lethal weapon, but there's nothing that can guarantee safety. You could get hit with a beanbag instead of a bullet, and on the way down, you catch your head on the curb, and there you go.
I did a bit on the radio that was totally against the law. We had to go run out in an alley and do that. I got shot with a 38 in a bulletproof vest, cracked my sternum.
Really?
Yeah. Just totally, I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I mean, for long, I was hurt bad.
Yeah. Well, that's what you hear about. I mean,
I didn't hear it.
Stops the bullet, but doesn't stop the impact.
A guy said it was like getting hit with a bat. And I thought, well, I can take that because I thought about if I'm wearing this vest and a guy hit me with a bat, I could take it. He meant it's like getting hit with a bat without the vest.
Right.
So it cracked my sternum and put me in the hospital for 3 days.
And you've been tased.
I'm tased twice. Shot once, stabbed twice.
I've been tased.
Tased worse than me.
I got the kind with the, wires. I mean, there's the ones you buy on the internet where you can, push it up against someone's neck and tase them. But then there are the ones that the cops have, the industrial strength tasing. And I had the worst kind of tasing. When you get tased, here's the only thing you have going for you. You're in a fugue state. You're high as a kite on elephant tranquilizer, and you think the cops are zombies. You don't know that you're going to be tased. I knew I was going to be tased, which is the worst part about being tased. If I just tased you right now on your way out to the bathroom, T, it would suck, but it wouldn't suck nearly as much as if I said, T, I'm going to tase you at 9:08
Or even
today.
Worse, if you said between 9 and 9:30, at some point you will be
You'll
tased.
You'll be tased. Okay. You
the
would freak.
End of my comedy act. I show this little clip of something I did wearing an electric dog collar that I wanted to see that what the right setting would be to not injure my dog, but make it do what I said. And then I do questions and answers, and if they don't like my answer, they get to push the button. It's 5,000 volts. I will bring it in at whatever show you say. I'll wear the collar through the whole show and give you the controller so I can't see it. And anytime you feel like it, you can just push the button. We'll see what it's like.
I'm going to give that button to Angie, though, because I would never do it.
It doesn't hurt that bad. It just makes you twitch.
Bring the 38 in. Let's get down to the good stuff.
That one hurts.
All I'm saying is mamas and papas, and especially single mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be tased, bro.
You reminded me.
Tell them to start listening to guys in uniforms instead of screwing the man.
I remember driving with my dad and pulling a U-turn and getting pulled over. Maybe I was 11. I'd never been pulled over by a cop with anybody before, and I was so nervous. And I remember being surprised because my dad was kind of a rebel, and he was kind of anti the man. He was so polite.
Black dad, Jew dad.
Pardon? Jew dad.
Jew dad. Yeah. He was so polite to the police officer, and I remember thinking, feeling safe and calm. Like he said, he was honest. He said, I'm really sorry. I don't really know this neighborhood. I shouldn't have done that. And you did the right thing pulling me over. And the cops just let us go.
Yes, everybody, your job is to evade the cops. Your job is to break the law. Your job is to do whatever you think you can do until the part where the cop catches you.
And then you suck up like a Hoover.
You suck ass. And then when the guy leaves, you do that, I smell bacon. All right, we need to take a break. Someone has never had a run-in with the law. Ice-T.
Dig this.
Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Ice-T I'm going to ask him about the tasing and what he thinks. He'll be on the show next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser.
You said this in one of your U.S. interviews. I've got no trouble with killing brutal cops.
Once a cop pulls me out of the car, starts beating on me and taking advantage of me, now it's just two men out in the street. And one of us got to die, and it's not going to be me. If it was me down there and I was Rodney King, I would have tried to kill those police.
And now former Body Count frontman and current television cop, Ice-T, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ice-T?
Hey, what's up?
Great to speak to you.
Badass thing to say.
May I say hi to your beautiful wife, Coco, as well. Is she on the phone?
I'm on the line.
We're here.
Hey, Coco.
Coco. And I believe I saw Coco in an episode of Pimp My Ride. No, not Pimp My Ride. What was it? It was a MTV car special. Were you on that?
Hello? Let me, the unlimited, like...
Are you out there?
Yeah. Ice-T?
Yeah, hello?
Coco?
I think we lost them.
Okay, we're doing an interview, so...
I'm still here.
All right. Huh. Yeah, what was it?
Cribs episode.
It was Cribs. It was a car Cribs episode.
Right,
yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
And I remember seeing it a few years ago, and I remember thinking, God damn, Ice-T has a really hot wife.
I lucked up.
Ice-T, how did you meet your hot wife?
Actually, we were on a set, and I had just come out of a relationship. I had been in a relationship for almost 15 years. I'd never been married, mm-hmm. and I was on the downside. I wasn't feeling really good. And my boy saw Coco on the set and decided to introduce us to cheer me up.
And when you say your boys, you mean your genitalia? Because that's how I work.
Boy. So he walked her over to me and said, I want to introduce you. And I don't like being introduced to people because then I feel obligated to be nice, especially if they're not my type. So I'm like, I turned around and I was like, damn.
Yeah.
And he was wearing like a red snakeskin suit. So I was like, damn.
Well,
there's a whole conversation right there in the tea house.
Coco is what I would call a buxom blonde. She is a beautiful buxom blonde,
if
I remember.
Was this on the set of Law and Order?
Say what?
Was this on the set of your current show, Law and Order, SVU?
No, that's actually a film my friend was doing in Los Angeles, and I was just there, you know, and I wasn't happy at all, you know?
In your current relationship.
Excuse me?
In the relationship you were in.
I was out of that relationship. I had been single about it.
Ah, and looking for love.
I was kind of like grumpy and stuff, and then when I saw her, I looked at her, I was like, wow. And then she walked off. And then I said, I need to reintroduce myself.
Now,
I walked over to her and I said, yo, I mean, I was really stunned by you. Can I reintroduce myself? My name is Ice. I think you're very beautiful. I said, have you ever considered dating a gangster rapper?
And I didn't know what that was, but I said, well, if he's nice.
And I said, well, if you take the N off nice, you get Ice.
That's cute.
Nice. Now, that's the same way I meet chicks, by the way.
Yeah,
I go up to him and I say.
You know, I mean, that somebody, God sent me that line. I had never said
it
that.
It just
before.
Came to you.
See, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Well, hey, Coco brings it out.
Good ever since we've been married 7 years, no bumps in the road. I'm happy.
Now I go up to chicks all the time and say, "Hey, you ever consider dating a gangster partridge?"
You are a gangster. I saw you flip that dude on TV.
He had it coming, nope. Little bastard.
Do you guys have...
I respect that, though. You know, you don't do that to no man.
That's exactly right.
Uh-oh, don't get Danny started. Hey, do you guys have children?
No, not yet. Not yet. We've decided to wait until, you know, we got the right, you know, scenario going to have kids. I have I just turned 16-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a handful. But right now, Coco and I are just kind of moving a lot. And, you know, kids change your
Coco,
life.
Coco, look, I don't want to get you into trouble, Ice-T, but Coco, you want some kids, right?
Yeah. You know, of course, we're an interracial relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I got to give back. You know, I got to mix the race a little bit.
Ice-T, give back to the community.
They basically.
I got to give back. Somewhere.
You got to give back. You got to give front. You got to give sideways.
Basically, they're saying that 100 years from now, we're all just going to be one shade of brown.
I see that.
Yeah, that's what we're looking forward to. Just get over it.
Yeah, what now? Monkey in your past?
Gotta be. Gotta be. Ain't nobody this light in Africa.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's weird because I always feel like I'm I'm stepping somewhere I shouldn't be stepping, but when I see
mean,
really
all black people got something in it. My history takes me down to being Creole, based down in New Orleans. So my grandparents are from New Orleans, and you know it's the French and all that. You know how the French used to take they have their mistress, their black slave mistress.
Right.
And they made a lot of light skinned, yellow, green eyed children.
Well, that's you might want to ask Thomas Jefferson about that.
Yeah, though.
You know. So if you track history, you know we got mixed everywhere.
Well, if you think about it, how long is it going to last? I mean, you're sitting around, you're a rich white guy, you have some hot looking teenage black slave. How long before go out there and pick that cotton or pick that up turns into come here and pour yourself a drink.
The banquets, they used to have their own little parties, and they would all show up with their girls on their arms, and they would have their own little parties, all the, you know, slave owners and their girls.
Right.
This is deep. I mean, history is ill. If you get into it, you'll hate everybody. So I just kind of like what's
funny. You can make a fine father. I will say this to Ice-T. I feel like I have to say this to a lot of guys that are career's going good. You're having a great time.
Going great.
You're why stop the party? I had twins a year and a half ago, and I couldn't be happier. I really couldn't. And it's never really the right time because you're always too busy to slow down. But you know what? You make time, and there's just nothing better.
I asked my brother.
Kids, though, you ain't telling me nothing new about children. We know that. But then there is a thing called Planned Parenthood. And if you have the ability to choose a better time than just any time, you should.
I would like
to say this, then. I was married 17 and a half years. We're not even legally divorced yet. And I would still say, I had twins about four nights ago. They were 27, and they rock, dude. So if you have to pick, go with those twins.
Well, Coco, you're going to be on Law & Order tonight, right?
It airs tonight. It's an ultimate fighting show, you got a whole different point of view there. It's called Fight. I play a character called Tracy Bell, and I play the girlfriend of Forrest Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Who's him.
Ultimate fighter, yeah.
So you're like a Jenna Jameson character.
Interrogates me.
Mm-hmm.
Is a cool scene to watch.
Ah, so you're going to be acting along with your husband, Ice-T, and he's going to interrogate you.
Yes.
All right, so that's tonight, NBC, 10 o'clock, Law & Order Special Victims Unit. I'm guessing you guys are out on the East Coast full-time, right?
Yes, sir. We live out here now.
But you also get out to the West Coast on occasion.
On occasion. But we've been out here now going on 9 years.
Well, please come by and pay us a visit in the flesh when you come by to L.A. next.
Come on, Adam. You know, we go way back, you know?
I know.
We go way back. So, I mean, you know, I told Coco, I said, I've been knowing Adam and Dr. Drew, and we became big fans of Danny. You know, we watched all his TV shows, so we rode that whole wave with him, too. So it's good. Good look. Your show's good look.
Well, thanks, man. We're big fans, too, so come see us in person when you're in L.A.
Definitely. Cool.
Good times. Thanks, guys. Tonight, Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
NBC.
10 o'clock NBC. All right. We'll take ourselves a break.
That's a bad man. Did you hear that interview?
What a nice guy.
I know, but I'm not backing off, man. Here's what I said, and here's why I said it. If I was Rodney King, I'd try to kill those cops. As national TV, man, you know what it must have been like to be like him for the next few days?
Have you ever considered dating a gangster rapper?
All right. Are you smarter than a Raiders fan?
Yes.
The new game that's sweeping the nation. We have a tease.
Finish this name. Wolfgang Amadeus blank.
Okay.
Would a Raiders fan know it?
This is going to be good. Yes. You call in 866-901-ADAM. We have a $100 gift certificate to the Raiders Image Store.
Who's going
to
say Van Halen?
$100 gift certificate. Are you smarter than a Raiders fan? You play. We'll play next.
Be off, board op, Bill, to talk to some Raider fans on Football Sunday. Now's your chance to find out if you are smarter than a Raiders fan.
What is the first element on the periodic table of elements? Metal.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Are you smarter than a Raiders fan? We spoke to them. We'll put you up against them first. Intro.
You may not be smart. In fact, you may be an idiot. But are you smarter than a Raiders fan?
I got a gut about Josh from Riverside. Josh?
Yay.
You ready to play Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan?
Oh, yeah.
We'll ask the question. You give your answer. You don't have to beat us or the house or your mama. All you have to do is beat the Raiders fan. First question.
Finish this name, Wolfgang Amadeus blank.
Mozart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did have the commercial to look that up.
All right. Well, we'll see if it keeps going. Let's see what the Raiders fan said.
Finish this name, Wolfgang Amadeus blank.
That I don't know. Cornwell?
Cornwell. Cornwell. It's a street I remember.
I like that he dropped an F-bomb before he got to it, though.
Extra classy.
All right, you're up one zip, Josh, from Riverside. Please. Let's move on to our next question.
Which year was the Declaration of Independence signed?
I'm sorry, can you repeat it?
Which year was the Declaration of Independence signed?
1776.
Mm. Now the Raider fan.
Which year was the Declaration of Independence signed?
Which year? Was that like 1776 or something?
Drops an F-bomb, but still gets it right.
Nice.
You got it effing right.
All right. Not bad. So you're 2-0. Let's keep it going.
In which two hemispheres would you find the United States?
The north and the south?
Swear I'd be 0 for 3 by now. Let's ask the Raiders fan.
In which two hemispheres would you find the United States?
Which two hemispheres? Northern, western, I believe.
Ooh.
Wow. Extra sharp Raiders fan. I'll be totally honest and say I probably wouldn't have gotten that.
Really?
You know,
dude, we're the East. They're the West.
I would have gotten.
I mean, reverse that. We're the West.
I would
the East.
Yeah, I would have gotten the Western part. I probably would have screwed the Northern part up. But that's why I tell people about reading. I'm not dyslexic. I never learned to read. You know, geography is not something you're born knowing. I was taking goddamn cooking and effing sewing classes all through junior high, and I never took a geography class. I didn't know where the states were, the capitals were, or anything. I should sue. You know what? If I could figure out how to do the paperwork, I would do a class action lawsuit against the L.A. Unified School District. Let me say this about you, L.A. Unified School District. You are lucky that you have an army of retards that pass through your doors who can't organize, get representation, or fill out the paperwork to sue your ass back into the Stone Age. You're lucky we can't read, print, or write. Otherwise, you guys would be in court right now.
Well, we have a literature question upcoming.
Oh, we do. Let's hear it.
Yes. Who wrote Romeo and Juliet?
Shakespeare.
Wow, Josh. What's Josh?
What were the last names?
Oh, no, 3 out of 4. Yep. Right. Okay. Montague?
Right.
I don't know what the other one was.
Capulet. Right.
All right. Hey, let's do the Raiders fan.
Who wrote Romeo and Juliet?
I think it was Edgar Allan Poe.
He has a perfect record on F-bombs, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quote the F-bomb, nevermore.
Yes. Never heard a guy use the F-bomb more.
He thinks he does F too much.
Now it's 2-2 with the Raiders fan, or 2-2 versus 3-1. So this is it. This is the big one. Let's go to the last question.
What is venison?
Mmm.
Venison is deer.
Nice.
Okay, the Raider fan has got to know this.
Well, what is venison?
You'd be surprised.
Venison?
Uh-huh.
I don't know, maybe a plant? Or maybe a country?
Another F-bomb, though.
Wow. You think a Raiders fan would have choked a deer to death and eaten it, knowing it's venison?
A lot of dumb people hunt.
He, by the way, is the spokesperson for Raider Nation, by the way. When they have news conferences and things like that, he is the publicist. He's the person and spokesperson for the group. So he drops a lot of F-bombs during news conferences.
Do you guys have any more effing questions?
Yeah. He's like, hey, man, you know, we got this big effing check here for you efforts at the Children's Hospital. So, I know there's a lot of you FNSers that are out there, you know, with problems with your effing spine. And, you know, there's a lot of Fs out there that don't give an S. But my feeling is, you know, if you can, you know, I remember when I was a little effer. And, you know, I said to my mom, I said, you know, Mom, there's a lot of kids that have it a lot effing worse than that. And she said, F them. And I said, F you. And then my dad came in and he said, F both you. The point is I have this giant novelty foam court check made out for $500,000. You know, a lot of effing tears and a lot of effing hard work and a lot of effing good people went hard at effing work at this and all. You know what? They didn't take effing weekends off, and they didn't they didn't use the effing money to get themselves new chrome side pipes on their effing Harleys. They gave it to a good cause, which is UMFers here at the St. Joseph's Regional Cancer Juvenile Cancer Ward. And may I say hearty F you to all the staff and effing doctors. You guys are saints. And let's join hands and pray for just one effing second, please. Dear GD effing Lord, please effing bless all these MFers and the effing essing horses the MFers rode in on. Thank you, dear God, Jesus Christ, my Lord and effing Savior. Thank you.
A effing man.
Nice.
It's nice that they're helping the little kids say F you to cancer.
That's right. Say F you to cancer. All right, let's play the outro.
God, they're dumb. Are you? Find out next time we play Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan?
All right. Hey, Josh.
Hey.
You got yourself an effing, essing, effing, a gift certificate. Worth
that's effing sweet.
100 effing bucks. All right, brother. Hang on. Let's take a break. T.
Yep.
It's coming up in the effing news.
George Clooney had some effing... MFN words for the paparazzi.
Yeah, saw it last
night. Yeah, we've got a tape of it.
We'll do that next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, St. Augustine, Florida. A 32-year-old man died after attempting to break into his ex-girlfriend's home when he got his head stuck in the cat door. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah, Jews say feh to cat doors. let me say this quickly, T, before we get into the news. Producer Angie, we got to record entertainment tonight because Tyra Banks is at it again. They teased it yesterday. She's doing one of her hard-hitting social exposés. This time, she makes
is a fanny party!
She makes herself out to be an ugly person.
Yeah, I saw the photos.
No.
She looks like one of the Cosby kids.
Yeah, prosthetic nose.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about Cosby from the show. I mean the animated Cosby thing. She makes her teeth all bent and crooked and puts herself a big Tom Selleck mustache eyebrows on her. And again, she'll go out and everyone will look at her askance and walk on the other side of the street. Not because she's unattractive. Folks, we work with fat people, unattractive people. We see them every day. As a matter of fact, there's way more of us than there is of you, the beautiful people. It's not that we're vibing on. It's the part where part of your prosthetic eyebrows coming off and we're freaked out.
Yep, because you're going to rob a bank. So you're in disguise.
Yeah, your face.
And it's never that good of a disguise.
No, that's the whole point. You are not in the disguise of a fat person or an unattractive person. You're a freakish person, and we're freaking out on you. All right, T?
Yeah?
I'll keep you guys posted with that tomorrow. It should be dynamite. I love it when she cries when she finds out what it's really like to be unattractive.
It's painful.
It is painful. T?
Yep.
What's the news really like?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
At a press conference yesterday, Lil Romeo signed his letter of intent to play at USC. After he graduates from Beverly Hills High, he is off to be a Trojan. In case you don't know, Romeo's dad, Master P, is also pretty good at basketball. He played in 2 NBA teams' training camps, never ended up making a roster. Here is Lil Romeo at his press conference.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the main reasons I chose SC, too, you know, just the whole educational thing. I like to teach that to the kids, you know, me. I didn't really have to go to college, you know, I made a lot of money for me and my family, but I'm one of those people that always preach education because I feel that knowledge is wealthier than money, you know. If you have your knowledge, you can do anything.
Did anybody else get that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his version of knowledge is power.
Right.
Knowledge is wealthier than people with money.
Well, somewhere in his junior year, he's going to hear the word irony. Yeah. It'll be very funny.
And then look it up.
You know, I got to give me some that education, you know, right now, because, you know, I mean, I got enough money. I got enough monies for me and my families, but I ain't got no educations, and that's what I need. What, anything else I can pluralize?
His dad is Master P, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Master P's.
I remember how impressed P's. Dick Clark was when he was on the other half, and you know why? Because he is such a great businessman. You ever really hear what Master P really does for a living? Do you even know for sure?
All I know is about every 3 weeks he threatens to buy an NBA franchise, yeah. And that's good enough
He's
for me.
He's worth about $600 million.
Yeah. He does that thing, and
I don't know what he does.
I'm very out of touch with what the kids are into these days, obviously. But when I hear about Master P and he's going to buy himself an NBA franchise, I just say to the person next to me, I don't know. I mean, I know he does producing and makes records and things like that, but where's the $600 million?
$600 million.
Coming from? All right.
I just when know you, he was on Dancing with the Stars.
When you impress Dick Clark with your money, you got to be loaded.
Yes.
Well, George Clooney is not impressed with the paparazzi. In fact, he's fed up with them.
Yeah. Not interested.
Mm-hmm. That's right. George was driving his girlfriend, Sarah Larson, around Los Angeles when he pulled over to confront the guys for their dangerous driving. By the guys, I mean the paparazzi. Here's George Clooney giving it to him.
I know you're taping. How many people are you putting in danger right now? You drove like a maniac.
I didn't drive.
Well, I don't care. At least understand. Stop putting on me.
Okay,
stop
putting on me.
I'm just... Now, at least understand that you're putting people in danger. Dude, you can't do that. You can drive all you want. You can take my picture all you want. What you cannot do is put people in danger. What you're doing, you cut me off and you cut off in front of that guy. That guy slammed on his brakes and I almost tagged him. You can't do that.
Just apologize, Clint.
I'm not saying you can't. You never see me stopping you guys from taking pictures. Because that was bull. And the other guy and the other thing. Everywhere we were on motorcycles, man. I've been down on a motorcycle. The last thing I want to do is get thumped.
He was dumped in New Jersey back in September.
Dude, dig him.
I love that guy. And I will say this.
Totally dig him.
I watched the 33-minute version of that on Entertainment Tonight last night.
Yeah, I cut it down.
Yes. Clooney is such a class act that after berating these guys for endangering him and his girlfriend who dumped the bike, you know, a month ago in New Jersey, he then sort of regained his composure and he kind of finished it with, okay, that's just what I'm saying. Like, you could tell he said, all right, have a good day. Like, he felt a little bad for berating the guys when they should have been berated because they were cutting him off. But on the other hand, you just dumped the bike with the old lady on the back of it 3 weeks ago and she broke her foot. Just hop in a Range Rover and put a limo tint on it with the rest of us.
Well, he makes the point that in his motorcycle, he can evade the paparazzi more easily because he can split lanes. That's
right.
Legal.
Absolutely. In California.
And then he says to them, look, you can take my picture. That's okay. But the way you're driving isn't just endangering me, which it is, but it's also endangering everybody else on the road.
Right. I'm just saying, I guess when you're, you know, 26-year-old cocktail waitress and George Clooney says, hop on the hog, you say done and done. Right. Easy, baby. Hypothetical.
By the way, helmet law in L.A., let me help out all you bikers. In advance, always strap an extra helmet to what they call the sissy bar. It's not the old kind of sissy bar it's kind of hold you on to.
Yeah.
Just strap an extra helmet onto that. Because if you go out and you meet a hot chick and she wants to get on your bike and you don't have two helmets, she can't.
The more you know.
It's like a condom. You should always carry one.
This is how you know you're getting whatever you want sexually. When you put the chick on the back of the bike, you go out and dump the bike, the chick breaks her foot, and 2 weeks later you're like, hey, bitch, back on the bike.
2 weeks.
I broke my foot.
Because I've never been in a relationship where I wouldn't get a frying pan across my head with a hearty F-U. There's no way. If I dumped a bike and whoever I was dating broke their foot on the back of the bike, they'd be like, listen, evil, I'm not getting near that two-wheeled piece of ass. I'll be driving a six-wheeled car. I'm going to get the buggy that Banana Splits drove. Yeah, and I'll be taking that. By the way, don't bother wearing a helmet. You do have life insurance, don't you? That would be the conversation I would have with whoever. She, happily, right back on the Clooney-mobile.
Illinois, Florida, no helmet law. Maybe some others, but those are two I'm sure of.
Clooney hopped on the Clooney-mobile and went over to Entertainment Tonight. Now, he correctly predicted that they were going to sell that tape, which they did. And he had a conversation about his fears about the paparazzi.
The tape will be out tomorrow, probably, because I got off and I said, good, let me see your license plate number. And the guy goes, what, I didn't do anything. I go, how many laws did you break? And he says again, I mean, a couple. And I go, you're admitting to breaking a couple of laws. Let me get your license. And he actually has a license plate. Usually they don't have license plates, so you can't. This last guy didn't have license plates, or we would have, you know, done something. It's not about the chasing of me. I'm not racing these guys. I'm on a bike. It's stupid.
Right.
It's about the idea that I live on a street where everybody hikes. It's every single day there's hundreds and hundreds of hikers, and they're going 60 and 70 miles an hour down that street, and they're, you know, mothers with strollers and, you know, old people, and somebody's going to get hurt.
Call me crazy with all the. You make a honeymoon video and then somebody releases it to video and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. I just feel like we have a law for everything in this country. I can't pick that phone up right now and dial it without telling whoever picks up the phone, you're on radio, you're on my radio show, and if I don't tell them, then we can be sued. There's so many laws for everything. Doesn't it seem like somebody ought to rein these guys in? And no, I don't buy into that part where he wanted to be a celebrity. Well, he wanted to create a product and sell that product to the masses, and part of that product is him, and I understand this comes with the territory. But haven't we crossed the line? And this Princess Di thing was 10 years ago. It's gotten worse.
It's gotten way worse. And I was just thinking, listening to that, that's going to be chilling to listen to after someone gets hurt.
Yes.
Yeah, and they'll play that.
Oh, Harvey is now falling to his knees and looking toward the heavens.
Well,
please,
you know,
they have
a rule there, don't chase. But I'm not sure what the difference is between following and chasing. If 50 people are chasing and you need that shot too,
right?
How do you follow and not chase? I don't really understand the distinction.
It's if both feet leave the ground simultaneously. It's the same rules they have in competitive walking.
Right.
And by the way,
you're running.
Do we really need competitive walking in the Olympics anymore? Let's see who can scurry the fastest. It's one of these things, too. And by the way,
what is it called?
There's nothing gayer looking than there's no
race
athlete.
Walk.
You find me an athlete that gets laid less. The guys who do curling are studs compared to the competitive walkers. And my argument, if I was trying to launch any sport into the Olympics, I said, look, I want snowboarding, or I want this, or I want that, and the Olympic committee was going, I don't know. I'd go, you have walking as part. The thing I'm going to do, I mean, my car's parked over there. You know how I'm going to get there? Walking. Not
wow.
A toboggan, not a pole vault, a walk.
Depending on how you get there, I may give you a medal.
I'm saying the rules of competitive walking is 1 foot needs to be on the ground at all times. It's
running.
Like when you're shooting pool or you're running. So that's what the rules should be. Walk as fast as you possibly can. As a matter of fact, it's not like these guys make a mint doing competitive walking.
No.
They're not hitting the lecture circuit. You know, I've been walking and talking for a long time. No. They're not on the covers of Wheaties boxes. They're not getting big-time endorsements. Maybe you people at TMZ should hire competitive walkers to walk after Clooney on his motorcycle. Never running. Going to hold up in court, but these guys can walk 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, one problem. A lot of Olympic athletes have dignity.
They
might not want to do it.
So overrated. I even told that to Carolla at the Playboy Mansion. I said, this whole dignity thing, I think it's holding us back. You got to let me go.
How do you get into competitive walking? Do you sign up for track and your coach goes, you know what? You are so slow. I would recommend that you walk. You are the slowest runner I know, but you could be the fastest walker.
I think that's how you get into it. How else?
Mm-hmm. Where do you go to scout out talent? The mall?
Sure. You find good walkers at the mall. You find them at the beach.
Remember mall walking, the craze?
Yeah.
Are you old enough to remember that? That was a whole thing where women, they'd open the mall in the morning before it opened, and women would walk the mall for exercise, but to be safe and out of the elements.
think it's a cold weather thing. All right, T, where were we?
What would you do if you won the lottery? People think about that a lot. Well, there's a 51-year-old man. He's now missing. I'll tell you why in a moment. He won $600,000. He was one of 17 American Airlines mechanics in Miami. They split a $19 million jackpot. They divided the lump sum after taxes. This guy got about 600 grand.
Mm-hmm.
It's 51-year-old Arnim Ramdas.
Yeah,
he played the lottery his whole life.
It's awesome to have a group of retards working on my airplane. It's great.
Well, after he won the lottery,
it's going to instill a lot of confidence in the flying public, you retards, pooling your retarded money together for your retarded gambling.
Well, he decided that maybe he didn't want to be married so much anymore after his winnings. His wife is 47-year-old Donna Campbell, a former model and the runner-up at the 1979 Miss Trinidad and Tobago Beauty Pageant.
Oh, anyone know who second runner-up was? You're looking at him. You're looking at Miss Trinidad Tobago.
79.
Right here. Second runner-up. I mean, third place, but in the pageant, you know, when you do the circuit. I don't want to get into the lingo.
You did get most photogenic. Now, after he won the lottery, and by the way, he never mentioned to his wife, Donna, that he won it. He kept all the TVs off in their home, and he disconnected the phone. She had no idea that he had won the lottery until a postcard came in the mail saying, congratulations on the purchase of your new home. That made her suspicious.
Yeah. So she
Googled her husband, and that's how she found out that he had won the lottery. She confronted him. He made up some story about buying the ticket for someone else. Then he disappeared. Mm-hmm. He is still MIA with the money. She's now suing him in absentia for her share of the jackpot.
Yes. He thinks absentia is a city in Northern California, though, so he's cool. He's like, I got to stay away from absentia.
I thought it was a big red lump on your arm or something.
This is folly for retards. The lottery is for stupid people. It's our state and every other state at their worst. It's legalized gambling for retarded people. And anyone who buys a lottery ticket should be ashamed of themselves. And you ask yourself, oh, the money's going toward the school system. How was the school system out here before the lottery and how is it now? Barely usable to unusable. So, more lottery? How long's the lottery been going on in this goddamn city? 30 years?
Long enough that these people that won could be doctors and lawyers by now if they won at birth.
Yes.
And they're not. They're poor and they're on meth.
Worst message a society can send to its public is the lottery. It is a gambling game for retarded people, and any state or city that sponsors it should be ashamed of themselves. And you people who buy it, have fun. Have fun. Betting on your life. Please let God smile on me. Please forget about getting an education. Forget about bettering yourself. Forget about hard work. Maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe I'll get lucky. Well, you're not going to get lucky. You could have put some time into education and vocational training or starting a business or anything else, but no, you're going to play the lottery. Retarded. I said it once, I said it again. If a guidance counselor told one of their high school students, go out and buy a lottery ticket, that's what you got going, the guy would be fired. Why are you giving this person hope? What kind of advice is that?
Except don't the high school guidance counselors get together in groups and buy lumps of lottery tickets?
Everybody does that. And then when you refuse, they say the same thing. You're going to be sorry when we win.
Yeah. It's not. It is the worst message you can send yourself.
Your odds are much better just training for a career or study.
I sent myself a message that said, those jeans make your ass look big. And I hated sending. I didn't like that message either. It's the second worst message.
You IM'd yourself?
Yeah.
In the rear?
Yeah.
I'm just saying this. If this is legal, if this kind of gambling is legal, then every kind of gambling should be legal. Really, cockfighting should be on national television because this is gambling for retarded people. All right, T.
Now, here's a dog, and his owner took a gamble. His owner took him to the vet and decided, let's neuter little Radar. Mixed breed dog named Radar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a lot of dogs get neutered. It's not a big deal.
So not.
Bob Barker's all happy.
Took him to the vet. The vet fix little Radar. The vet's name, Steve Wallstott. 3 days later, the vet Dr. Wallstad got to his office and found Radar just standing there in front of his office in Joplin, Missouri. Turns out Radar had run away from home and gone straight back to the office.
He wanted his junk back.
Yeah, that's right where I'm going. Does it, you know that statue in Japan where that dog waited for his dead owner for like years until he died on that spot out of loyalty? There's a big statue of a dog. That, there's one in England, too. That's the first place I'd run back to show my loyalty. Hey, didn't you just take a razor to my junk? This is where I'm coming.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be a good place to go.
It's kind of a sweet story.
Back to the sack, I call it.
Yeah, the vet says that it's the first time in his 28-year career that he's ever...
It was also the name of Goonies, too.
He's ever heard of a dog showing up at the vet's office after he got castrated. He'd never heard of that. Even stranger, Radar lived more than a mile from the office, and he had never traveled there on foot. It's a mystery
how
he found
it.
What
did you do? After they neutered you.
Did you go back to the vet?
Yeah, Dr. Wallstad.
And do you have those phantom pains, like when people get an arm amputated?
Where your nads used to be?
They can feel their elbow itch, even though the arm's gone.
I'm surrounded by assholes.
It's the siren song of the nads. That's what it is. Not interesting.
Shift from one side to the other, even though there's no shifting involved?
They need to move on.
Do you still adjust them a little
Give
bit, though they're not there? Well, this vet called Radar's...
Definitely not funny.
Called Radar's owner.
God damn you.
Said, I've got your nadless dog. It's right here. And the owner said, you know what? I've been looking for a new home for Radar. Why don't you keep him? So the vet's office took in Radar and built him a place to sleep at the back of their clinic. He returned to the scene of the crime, and now he lives there.
I am getting used to now not seeing a dog scrotum sack.
It's been years since I've seen a dog
it's
scrotum.
It's been a while, and I saw one the other day, and it was on a big dog, and it freaked me out. Because the thing about pet parts and animal parts, they don't really match people parts that much. Like a dog's nose doesn't look like your nose, and a dog's lips doesn't look like your lips, but a doggy sack?
Looks a lot like people sacks.
That doggy bag looks the same no matter what restaurant it came from. And I saw a Rottweiler that had was packing the doggy sack, and it's weird. It's a little bit intrusive, and it's funny when you're talking to somebody because when the dog is spayed, you just go, hey, how you doing? And when the dog's not, it's like, oh, look at that prodigious sack.
You ever think about going out with a gangster Rottweiler?
Yeah. And then once in a while, they'll bring it up. Yeah, I thought I'd let him stay in one piece. I think he, and it's like, all right, now we're making jokes about your huge doggy sack. And it's weird. I don't know that my kids will grow up knowing that. We grew up, you would see testicles of animals swing around. Wasn't
your
a great
kids will
childhood.
Never get to see.
Not in cartoons.
They'll never know that pleasure. Not in cartoons.
Go
that's
see
right.
The Aristocats or something like that, or the Lady and the Tramp.
Yep.
Those dogs have no sphincters.
Well, they had a rule. It was called four fingers and no sack.
That's right.
That's what they call it in the animated world. T.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. QCNN.
Call me uptight.
You're uptight.
I say if you have a dog that's more than 65 pounds and you've not had it spayed or neutered, I should say, not had the dog neutered, you must put trunks on the dog before you leave the house.
I agree.
I'm tired of looking at huge dogs.
A small dog is fine. A chihuahua, that's fine.
Chihuahua, no big deal. That's a little fuzzy walnut there.
It's
but
cute.
These are big old rhino sacks. Yeah.
Check out that picture on Perez Hilton. I'm fine. I can go without a diaper.
You don't need it.
No, need nothing.
All right, but you have a big dog.
I do. Yeah. My dog needs to be covered up. I'm fine.
All right. I'm just saying, trunks for mutts.
I'm just saying.
Let's get Pam Anderson and Bob Barker on the floor, see if we can hammer this one out.
Let's just get Pam on the bar.
We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, Prisoner David, always a delight, calling from prison. Who knows what he has up his orange jumpsuit. We'll talk to him next. While you can.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Prisoner David.
Adam, what's happening?
Great to speak to you.
Yes.
Now, they allow radios over there in the joint, right?
Yes, yes. We got little portable radios. Can't bring them out to the yard, though.
Mm-hmm.
Got him only in the cell.
But you listen to him in your cell.
Yeah.
Now, I attempted to listen to this radio program, the replay of this radio program on our mother station here, KLSX in Los Angeles, this morning when I woke up.
Yeah.
And the radio I got for my house, the special radio I bought on the internet with the big antenna,
yeah,
could not pick up the show. It's been that way my whole life. I've lived up in the hills my whole adult life, and I can't get this radio station. So you in your cell get much better radio reception on your cheap transistor radio than I can get with my special $100 Swedish radio. I listen to a country station while I brush my teeth, and I almost wanted to stab myself.
Who did you say was the best receiver in the world?
Oh, me.
Okay. What can't he receive in his cell?
Well, you know, mostly that's the Spanish stations come in really clear around here. Spanish stations just come in. I don't know what's up with that, Matt.
Spanish stations come in really clear around here, too. And I think it has something to do with some of their transformers or something being on their antennas, being on the other side of the border, where they don't have to conform to FCC regulations unless they boost them up. Because I swear to God, I will be driving through the mountains getting nothing but static, and then the accordions come in. That's right.
Hey, that's pretty funny, Adam.
Yeah, well, music for lottery players, everybody.
I got something really good today, Adam. You know, I get a lot of hits to my MySpace page. Believe it or not, I'm actually on MySpace.
Really?
Yeah.
What a time we're living in.
Nice, yeah.
MySpace.com/PrisonerDave, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I get a lot of hits on there, and a lot of good comments come in. People just love to hear from the jailhouse bands that I've been putting on lately. You know, the
sure
bands. They just love the music, man. So I've got a special guest today, and I figured we'd try something different, something new today. Mm-hmm. Instead of an English band like I've always had, let's try a Spanish band.
Oh, that'll be a breath of fresh air out here in Southern California. Never believe I've heard the Spanish music before.
Curious what it sounds like.
Yeah, curious.
Well, you know, we watch these shows called, like, The Next American Band and all mm-hmm these other American Idols. And a lot mm-hmm of people in here have aspirations. It's like, man, I never got that chance to do that, you know.
Sure.
Get my 15 minutes of fame. So I've got a band today. They're called Las Lonely Guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're Spanish-speaking. And let me see if I can get a little... What song are you guys going to be playing for you? Que cual canción está quieres tocar? I'm learning Spanish myself.
I don't speak Spanish.
Dígame otra vez.
One of the perks of going to prison in California, you learn to speak fluent Spanish. Yeah.
Okay, he says they're going to be playing what's called a corrido. A corrido is basically a song about an event that took place that's in the past.
Uh-huh.
So in this case, you're going to be...
So we usually sing about hovercrafts and things that that are going to happen in the future. But they're singing about something that happened in the past. Interesting. All right.
Okay, you're going to be... It's about the Mexican Revolution, he said, right?
All right.
Okay, so here he is. His name is David. He's got the same name as me, actually. David, right?
Who's David?
David. Okay, here he goes. This is Jailhouse Idol Latino.
I got an intro.
Yeah. I'll translate.
What's
it mean? It's a young man, and he's weeping because his cellie raped him last night.
Your Spanish is excellent, Adam.
Mm-hmm. He's weeping because his cellie did not rape him last night. You gotta conjugate.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
How do you think he got that guitar?
Name of the song is I Took a Dump While a Guy Held Up a Beach Towel.
It sounds so much better in Spanish.
Adam, isn't that wonderful?
I'll tell you, it's just, you know what, it's bringing me back to the days when I was walking around the construction site with a hammer and eating off a truck. Really, really got me waxing nostalgic now, did Prisoner David.
It just reminds me of family. You know, like Thanksgiving's coming up and just having carne asada and tacos.
Prisoner David,
yes.
Do you guys get any Mexican food on your platter over there at the prison?
Yeah, but it's worse than Taco Bell, man. It's just, there's no taste to it. You know? It's totally American. There ain't no Mexican to it.
Yeah, I know. They F up everything, and rightfully so. But what is the best meal? Like, you have Thanksgiving coming up. Will you guys get some pumpkin pie?
Yes, actually, on Thanksgiving, we get a wonderful meal. Pumpkin pie, we get turkey. That's probably the best meal of the year.
Right, because it's almost impossible to F up a turkey. You take a turkey, you put it in an oven, and when the little penis pops out of it, it's done in time for the prisoners to eat, right?
Yeah.
But doesn't just the idea of Thanksgiving and being in prison, it's kind of an oxymoron.
In a way, though, I will bet they look forward to that meal more than we could ever imagine.
For. You could be dead like some of the people they killed.
Right.
I'm sure that some of the people they killed got what they deserve.
That's a good one.
All right, David, nice time, and thank David for me, and toss out your MySpace page. I'd like you to meet a wife on there.
Exactly. I've only got 30-something friends. I need more friends on there.
Well, give it a toss out. Give it a shout out.
Okay, MySpace.com/, whatever it is, Prisoner David.
Good times. All right, David, give a nice big thumbs up to David for banging away on the sixth string, too.
Okay, hey, Dave. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Dave, we'll talk to you good. We got to take... Wait. Should we have that? Or we just went out on it? Yeah. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Back to wrap it up next. Well, just enough time to give thanks for things to do. I want to thank Alex Roy. Cool guy in a cool car. Gumball144.com is where you go. Iced Tea.
Have you ever considered dating a gangster rapper?
And Coco, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, tonight, 10 p.m. on NBC. And, of course, our own Teresa Strasser, TMZ TV. Check your local listings. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
I'd like a sponge bath, and that's just a start.